జయమశుపాల పరమహంస పరిభ్రాజగాచార్య అష్టోత్తర శరశ్రీ శివాన్ అభిజనారవింద భక్తి వేదాంత గోస్వామి మహారాజ్ శీల ప్రభుపాదుకి జయమున్నతి లీలా ప్రవిష్ట విశుపాల పరమహంస పరిభ్రాజగాచార్య అష్టోత్తర శరశ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ భక్తి సిద్ధాంత సరస్వతి మహారాజ్ శీల ప్రభుపాదుకి ఆనందవడి వైష్ణవ బృందకి నామాచార్య శేహరదాస్ ఠాకూర్ కి ప్రేమ సహో శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధార శివ సాది గౌర భక్త వృందకి శ్రీ శ్రీ రాధాకృష్ణ గోప గోవినాథ శ్యామకుండ రాధాకుండ గిరి గోవర్ధానికి బృందావన్ ధామ్కి నాయపూర్ ధామ్కి మధురపురి ధామ్కి జగన్నాథ్పురి ధామ్కి ద్వారకాపురి ధామ్కి గంగమాయికి యమునమాయికి తులసిదేవికి భక్తిదేవికి సామవేద భక్త వృందకి గౌర ప్రేమనని ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ద సింబల్ గోల్డీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ద సింబల్ గోల్డీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ద సింబల్ గోల్డీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ శ్రీ శ్రీ గురువన్ గౌరాంగ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ శ్రీ ప్రభుపాద నమశుపదాయ కృష్ణప్రస్థాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతి భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామిని నామిని నమస్తే సరస్వదేవి గౌరవాణి ప్రజారిణి నవిశేష శూన్యవాణి పాశ్చాత్యదేశారిణి
ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ
ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ
సంసార సాగరే ఓం అజ్ఞానతిమిరాంధస్య జ్ఞానాంజన శలాఖయ చక్షురుణ్మీలాం యేన తస్మై శ్రీ గురవే నమః శ్రీచైతన్యమనోభీష్టం సాధితాం యేన భూతలే స్వయం రూపగదా మహ్యం దదాతి స్వపదాన్నియం వందేహం శ్రీగురు శ్రీయుతాపదకమలం శ్రీగురుం వైష్ణవాంశ్చ శ్రీరూపం సాగ్రజాతం సహగణ రఘునాథాన్వితం తం సజీవం సాద్వైతం సావధూతం పరిజనసహితం కృష్ణచైతన్యదేవం శ్రీరాధాకృష్ణపదాం సహగణలలితాం శ్రీవిశాఖాన్వితాం విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణప్రస్థాయ భూతలే శ్రీమదే భక్తివేదాంత స్వామినిధి నామినే నమస్తే సరస్వతి దేవీ గౌరవాణి ప్రజారిణి నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాణి పాశ్చాత్యదేశదారిణి నమో విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణప్రస్థాయ భూతలే శ్రీమదే భక్తి సిద్ధాంత సరస్వతి నామిని శ్రీవర్ష భానవి దేవీ దయదాయ కృపాబ్దే కృష్ణ సంబంధ విజ్ఞానం దాయినే ప్రభవే నమ మాధుర్యోజ్జల ప్రేమాద్య శ్రీరూపానుగ భక్తిద శ్రీ గౌరకరుణా శక్తి విగ్రహాయ నమోస్తుతే నమస్తే గౌరవాణి శ్రీమూర్తయే దీనదారిణి రూపనూగ విరుద్ధావ సిద్ధాంత ద్వంద్వహారిణి నమో గౌరకిశోరాయ సాక్షాత్ వైరాగ్యమూర్తయే విప్రలంబర సాంభోదే పదాంబుజాయ నమ నమో భక్తి వినోదాయ సచ్చిదానంద నామినే గౌరశక్తి స్వరూపాయ రూపనూగ విరాయలే గౌరావిర్భవభూమేస్తు నిర్దేష్టా సజ్జన ప్రియ వైష్ణవా సర్వభౌమ శ్రీ జగన్నాథాయ నమ హరిభ్యాశ్చాకృపా సింధూభ్యైవ చ పతితానాం పావనేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః మహావదన్యాయ కృష్ణ ప్రేమ ప్రదాయదే కృష్ణాయ కృష్ణ చైతన్య నామ్నే గౌరకృషే నమః పంచతత్వాత్మకం కృష్ణం భక్తరూపస్వరూపకం భక్తావతారం భక్తాఖ్యం నమామి భక్తశాస్త్రియం హే కృష్ణ కరుణా సింధో దీనబంధో జగల్పదే గోవేష గోవిగా కాంద రాధా కాంద నమోస్తుతే తాం సురదో భాంగోర్మమ మందమదే గది మత్సర్వస్వదాంబోజౌ రాధామదన మోహనౌ దివ్యమందారణ్య కల్పద్రుమాన శ్రీమన్రత్నాకర సింహాసనస్థౌ శ్రీమన్రాధాశీల గోవింద దేవో ప్రేష్టాలిమి సేవ్యమానౌ స్మరామి శ్రీమన్నాసరసారమ్య వంశీ వడదడ స్థిత కర్షన్ వేణుస్వనే గోవే గోవినాథ శ్రీయస్తునాం
തത്താഞ്ജനഗൗരാംഗീ രാധേ വൃന്ദാവനേശ്വരി വൃഷഭാനുസ്തുതേ ദേവി പ്രണമാമി ഹരിപ്രിയ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭോ നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധാര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗരഭക്തവൃന്ദ ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ 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 രാമ 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 ഹരേ 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 കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ 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 രാമ 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 ഹരേ 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 കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ 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 രാമ 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 ഹരേ ഹരേ പാർത്ഥായ പ്രതിബോധിതം ഭഗവതം നാരായണേന സ്വയം വ്യാസേന ഗ്രഥിതം പുരാണം വിനാ മധ്യേ മഹാഭാരതം അദ്വൈതാമൃതവർഷിണി ഭഗവതീ അഷ്ടാദശാധ്യായിനീ അമ്പത്വാമനുസന്ധദാമി ഭഗവദ്ഗീതേ ഭവദ്വേഷിണി നമോസ്തു തേ വ്യാസവിശാലബുദ്ധേ പുല്ലാരവിന്ദായത പത്രനേത്ര യേന ത്വയാ ഭാരതതൈലപൂർണ പ്രജ്വാലിതോ ജ്ഞാനമയ പ്രദീപം പ്രപന്നപാരിജാതായ സ്തോത്രവേത്രൈകവാണയേ ജ്ഞാനമുദ്രായ കൃഷ്ണായ ഗീതാമൃതഗുഹേ നമഃ സർവോപനിഷദോ ഗാവോ ദുഗ്ധാഗോപാലനന്ദന പാർത്ഥോ വത്സസുതേ ഭോക്താ ദുഗ്ധം ഗീതാമൃതം മഹത് വസുദേവ സുതം ദേവം ഹംസചാരുമൂലമർദനം ദേവകീ പരമാനന്ദം കൃഷ്ണം വന്ദേ ജഗദ്ഗുരും ഭീഷ്മദ്രോണതടാ ജയദ്രഥജലാ ഗാന്ധാര നീലോൽപല ശല്യഗ്രാഹവലീ കൃപേണ വഹനീ കർണേന വേലാകുല അശ്വത്ഥാമാവികർണ ഘോരമകലാ ദുര്യോധനാവർത്തിനി സുതീർണ ഖലു പാണ്ഡവൈ രണനദീ കൈവർത്തക കേശവ പാരാശര്യവജ സരോജമലം ഗീതാർത്ഥഗന്ധോൽക്കടം നാനാഖ്യാനകേസരം ഹരികഥാ സംബോധനാബോധിതം ലോകൈ സജ്ജനശൽപതൈരഹരഃ പേവീയമാനം മുദാ ഭൂയാദ് ഭാരതപങ്കജ കലിമല പ്രധ്വംസിന ശ്രേയസേ മൂകം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കം ലംഘയതേ ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം യം ബ്രഹ്മാവരുണേന്ദ്രരുദ്രമരുദസ്വന്വന്തി ദിവ്യൈസ്തവൈ വേദൈ സാംഗപദൈ ക്രമൌപനിഷദേ ഗായന്തിയം സമഗാഹ ധ്യാനാപസ്ഥിതവർഗലേന മനസാ പശ്യന്തിയം യോഗിനോ യസ്യാന്തം ന വിദസുരാസുരേണേ ദേവായ തസ്മൈ നമഃ. Last Saturday, we were talking about Shraddha. We hear in this chapter also, in that verse, 10th verse, Krishna mentioned about Tyagi Sattva Samavishta and Medhavi Chinna Samshaya. That's what we were talking about actually. That Sadhi Tyagi Sattva Samavishta. Sattugunam enters into him. From where? From the Andaryami inside. So, what's happening is, Krishna says here, that Shraddha Avivesha, in the Upanishad says, in the Kathopanishad, it says Shraddha Avivesha. That means, Shraddha entered inside, into that person. It is an unusual, an extraordinary power of discrimination. Ability to discriminate. An extraordinary power gets inside. And what happens at that time? Our grip on this individual self goes away. At the moment, we have strong grip on our identity, isn't it? I am this body, I am a man, I am a husband, I am a wife, I am this, I am that. So many things based on the... And till that happens, the grip, which is on individual self. Like I mentioned this example, that in the in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna didn't speak it, Bhagavad Gita to Dharmotra. For one reason, because his grip was very strong on the Dharma. And in all of us, individually, we have some strong grip on something in that way. And that's very difficult to overcome, isn't it? So, Yudhishthira had this close affinity with Dharma. Bhima had a lot of affinity with physical strength. Sahadeva had a lot of faith in his knowledge. And Nakula had a similar problem also. Nakula was an expert warrior who was very capable of riding horses and controlling the horses. That knowledge was very strong in him. Because of that, because it overpowers everything else, every individual, if you look, you will see this. They have some strength in them. And they will have a very strong attachment to something which will come against their own interest in spiritual life. Arjuna had this understanding that when Krishna spoke to Arjuna, Arjuna understood that he is nobody in this world. This realization came to him when Krishna spoke to him first. So that is that Shraddha happened to Arjuna at that time. Arjuna also got that Shraddha. It is that Shraddha what you see in the second chapter in the Bhagavad Gita. Arjuna, suddenly a Shraddha enters inside his heart and he is willing to sit down and listen to Krishna. Start recognizing that Krishna is saying something which is beyond my understanding, higher than my understanding. And that recognition, whereas when Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita to the Yudhishthira Maharaj, Yudhishthira didn't take notice of it. He spoke the same thing. It is in the Bhagavatam, you can see. That when Yudhishthira Maharaj complained about Krishna's not negotiating with the Kauravas, and Yudhishthira started getting very upset with Krishna, Arjuna and Bhima sensed this. They went and told Krishna that you should talk Bhagavad Gita to him. Krishna said there is no point in talking to him. Because Krishna knew the frame of mind of Yudhishthira. When it became unbearable one day, because of the persistence request from Arjuna and from Bhima, one day Krishna said, "All right, I will talk to him, Bhagavad Gita, the same Bhagavad Gita which I have spoken to Arjuna." Vedavyas was there, Dhaumya was there, and many other rishis were there, and all the Pandavas were there. Krishna spoke Arjuna Bhagavad Gita to Yudhishthira. Yudhishthira slept off, couldn't hear anything. What he's trying to say is this, that till that mind has come to that, till that consciousness inside is ready to receive that message, Krishna says it was no point in talking to him about it. So that Shraddha, what Arjuna had, that is the special grace of Krishna. Krishna's grace, that is. In fact, in Brahma Vidya, if one gets that Shraddha, means it's a great Kripa, of Krishna's Kripa, isn't it? And Krishna is saying here that if your karma becomes purified, karma vishuddhi, it is called, then this power for developing that Shraddha or self-inquiry will naturally come out inside. This is why this karma Krishna is hitting on that again and again. Till this karma is purified, karma vishuddhi it is called, Krishna says to Arjuna, if karma vishuddhi happens, you will get in a natural way this power for self-inquiry, that Shraddha and strength will build up inside. And pure Surubaspurti means one's own pure identity will manifest within the heart. In a natural way it will happen, because karma and karma vasana is the what is that is blocking us inside. And that is, and it is at that time when karma is purified, that is when this sattva samavesham happens. See that? Tyagi sattva samavishte medhavi chinna samshaya. Krishna is saying that. When does sattva samavishta happens? Avesham of sattva gunam. Sattva gunam comes at that time
because Krishna mentions before, Satwal Sanjayade Jnanam. Knowledge gets in very quickly when there is goodness inside. Satwal Sanjayade Jnanam. When Sattugunam is strong inside, Jnanam will very quickly build up inside that person. So, Sattva Samavishta, that person who has got that Sattugunam inside, Sattva Samavishta, he is called Medhavi. See the word Krishna is used? Medhavi. Medhavi, the 10th verse. Tyagi Sattva Samavishta, that person is called Medhavi. Medhavi means he has got Medhaya Alpajnana Lakshanaya Samyuktaha. You will see in that person this strong waves of knowledge of the self building up in him very strongly. Knowledge of the self will happen, and not only that, he will realize who he is. In experience level, not theoretically. In experience level, he will know who he is. And that coverage, avaranam shakti, which is the tavavanam, that is covering the self, avaranam, that will start slowly dissolving. Avaranakshayam, it is called. So, that is, we were talking about that. And here also, you can see, he mentions here, that
Atma Swarupa Avasthanam Eva Param Nishrayasa Sadhanam Na Anyat Kinjit.
That is, here, in the Bhashyam, he says here, Medhavi, who is a Medhavi, says, Medhavi means, Medhavi Tvad, Evam Chinna Samshayaha Chinnaha, Avidyakradaha Samshayo Yasya, Atma Swarupa Avasthanam Eva Param Nishrayasa Sadhanam Na Anyal Kinjit Idi Evam Nishchayena Chinna Samshaya. Means that because this Tyagi, Krishna says, Tyagi Sattva Samavishta Medhavi Chinna Samshaya. Because this Tyagi, he receives this knowledge of the self from within, and because his Medha Shakti, the power of Medha power, because of that he has become Medhavi. Medhavi, Krishna calls it here, isn't it? So, what is happening to him at that time? Because he has become Medhavi, he comes to this conclusion that there is no higher knowledge than realizing the self, than realizing oneself, who I am. If when that realization comes, the main advantage is you don't look for any further knowledge after that. Once for all, you are satisfied. At the moment we keep on inquiring, where to find, isn't it? It's not going to come to an end till self-realization happens. That is what Krishna is saying there. Medhavi Chinna Samshaya. Chinna Samshaya means, after that there is no Samshaya. Remember? Samshaya means doubts. Doubts all goes away because you have hit at the right spot. You got it. Now you don't need to have any more Samshaya. Remember earlier Krishna has spoken one word, Samshayalma Vinashari. Remember that? He mentions earlier another verse. Samshayalma Vinashari. So, not being situated in the body, not being situated in the mind, not being situated a man or a woman, not being situated a realized jnani or a devotee or a yogi, none of them, instead being situated as the self, as Atma, pure consciousness, awareness, who I am, that awareness comes above everything else. I'm not identifying anymore as a man or woman. I'm not identifying anymore as a jnani or a bhakta or a yogi. I'm not identifying anymore with the body or the mind, but pure consciousness. That is that state Krishna is talking about. So, so to be situated oneself as he is, his real identity, in his pure identity, and instead of being situated as something else. At the moment we are situated in different identities, isn't it? Man, woman, then jnani, yogi, bhakta, or so many other things, body, identifying the body or with the mind, various identities. All that identities goes away. That is what Krishna is saying here. Tyagi Sattva Samavishta Medhavi Chinna Samshaya. Samshayam is this. Am I a man? Am I a woman? Am I a yogi? Am I a jnani? Am I a bhakta? Am I a bhakta? All these are samshayam. The real answer to all these questions is, I am Atma. pure consciousness, isn't it? So, as long as you are in the grip of any other identity, you are within the grip of time, place and circumstances. Time, place and circumstances. You will be within that limit, isn't it? As long as you are a personality. As long as you remain as a personality, and once you remain as a personality, that person will be a person who remains as a personality. Yamadharma Raja says there, he is a person, as a person, he has purchased a season ticket to my place, he says. Because he keeps coming and going all the time. Mrityoso mrityum apnodi. If you look into Katha Upanishad, there is a verse there, he mentions this, that mrityoso mrityu apnodi. In other words, again and again, he will come back. Yadeveha tadamutra, yadamutra tadanyuha, mrityoso mrityum apnodi, ya ihat naneva pasyati. Katha Upanishad verse it is. Yamadharma Raja is saying there, yadeveha tadamutra, yadamutra tadanyuha, mrityoso mrityumapnodi ya iha naneva pasyati. Because a person who has not realized who he is, if he remains this or that, he will keep coming here to Yamadharma Raja's abode, he is saying here. Therefore, he who has realized a self, who knows what he is, that he is pure consciousness, that person will not anymore identify with the body, with the mind, or with any other identity. He doesn't even think that I am a jnani or a yogi or a devotee or even man or woman or any such identity. All that identities goes away, drops away. And therefore, he will remain purely in the state of consciousness. Now, this knowledge, the strength of this knowledge is only tested when there is vyavaharam. It is in the vyavaharam, this will be known about it. So, Atmana vindade viryam. Shruti says this. Atmana vindade viryam. So, what does viryam mean? Viryam means, so, when, suppose someone has realization, somebody has a realization, if it never gets covered by ajnanam again, that's called viryam. When is our knowledge tested, our realization is tested? Suppose you have realized something. When is it tested? It is tested in the vyavaharam, is it not? When in the vyavaharam stage, how you are able to hold on to that without losing it? Most of us, what happens is, we hear so many things, nice things in the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. And even in the satsangam, whatever you may have heard, and even a little bit of realization has happened, and due to your own meditations on the principles of Bhagavad Gita or whatever you heard in the Bhagavatam, all that, due to proper meditations on that, you may get a little bit insight into it. You may get a little insight into it. But when it goes into vyavaharam, all that goes. This is our daily experience, isn't it? We hear so much, but when it comes to vyavaharam, we don't even remember that. Such a thing I have heard before, isn't it? So, when you are in the satsangam, you are realizing some things. But when you go out, it all goes away. It all goes, isn't it? So, when you go into vyavaharam, or when you go into family life, or some problems have happened to the body at that time. This is the time, three different situations. Either due to bodily problems, when the body gives some pain or serious problems in the body. And similarly, when you are in the family life. And equally, when you have to do some vyavaharam outside. In all these three situations, you will notice that you are not able to deal with the situation with the spiritual understanding you had. Is it not? That spiritual understanding and realization has gone somewhere. And then again, after everything is over, if you sit quietly and then you start reading Bhagavad Gita and hear Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, slowly it comes back again, isn't it? So, what's happening is, that is what is called in the Shastram as Parichinada. Parichinada means breaking up, isn't it? So, so, at that point what's happening is, that you have heard that your Sarupam is not this body, and you have no relationship with the body. So much you have heard, and in your own inside you started experiencing that I am not this body. But as soon as you gone into your harem, suddenly destroyed everything. It's gone, isn't it? So that power to survive in the vyavaharam and able to retain that consciousness, that is what is called Krishna's grace. That's Krishna's grace it is, isn't it? And that is another word they used is viryam. In the Shastram they use this word viryam. But where does that viryam come from? Viryam comes from Krishna. Krishna has to give it to us. Krishna has to give it. So that same thing, what will happen is that when it starts coming like that, viryam starts coming in a person, then his doubts goes. Only then the doubt goes. Chinna samshayaha. Remember that word Krishna uses there? Tyagi, sattva samavishta, medhavi, chinna samshaya. That's where Krishna's grace is important. Only through Krishna's grace you can get over that. You are hearing a lot, Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavadam, and within yourself you have accepted everything what Krishna is saying. But when it comes to vyavaharam, or when it comes to family life, or when there is some problem with the body, you are unable to deal with it. You are not keep able to maintain that consciousness, isn't it? So there's doubt starts coming. Krishna is saying it is in that situation that medhavi chinna samshaya. His samshayam has to go in that state. Vyavaharam is the testing time. The testing time is at that time. So, so therefore, at that time, if in vyavaharam you have got free from all the doubts, if all the doubts goes away in vyavaharam, Krishna says chinna samshayaha. Chinna samshayaha. That's where doubts has to go. Not now. Now, when you are understanding with the mind and the intelligence, it doesn't matter. You will easily get accepted because you will understand that Krishna is saying so many things and it all makes sense also. But when it comes in vyavaharam, if you get that strength and able to get over, in vyavaharam also you are able to survive through that without getting affected by the vyavaharam or with the bodily problems, or in the family issues or whatever it is at that time chinna samshayaha. Krishna says, if you get through at that time, then your doubts, you are cleared everything and you are a medhavi. And it is only at that time these doubts will go. Only when you get through that situation. So, otherwise, if you start thinking that all these doubts I can clarify like in the tuitions, in the college lectures, classes or tuition lessons, at that time, it's no point in clearing the doubts. You know, the people ask the questions, isn't it? And they want to clarify the questions and get doubts clear. That is no use. If in vyavaharam, if you get through with this knowledge, if you are able to apply that in the vyavaharam, and you are able to experience that in the vyavaharam, that this knowledge in the Bhagavad Gita, experience within the self, then you can say that you have doubts have gone from inside. So, that is why these doubts, as far as Krishna is concerned, when the ajnanam inside goes away, practically what's happening is, the person who is doubting it, himself goes. Because that itself is a false thing. The one who is doubting. So, often this issue comes up. Anybody asks a question, they'll say that, Maharshi used to say, you doubt the doubter. Don't doubt, your questions and doubts have no meaning. You have to ask the question, who has the doubt? That's more important than your doubt. Doubt is not important. The person who has the doubt, asking that question, and who has the doubt, and at that time you inquire this, who am I, this doubter? If I have this doubt, then who am I? The person who is doubting this, isn't it? And again, if you think at that time, when I went into the deep sleep state, there was no doubts. There was no doubts. Where did this doubt come now? It was not there in the deep sleep state, isn't it? And what is my identity then? These are the questions to ask to oneself at that point. So, if you ask this question at that time, that what is my identity, and if you keep thinking about it, you will understand that this doubt has no meaning. It is then that you will realize it. Because these doubts are coming up in the vacant state. And who has these doubts? If I have the doubt, where these doubts had gone in the deep sleep state, that question will come. Is it not? So, it is some point in the vacant state, these doubts builds up and comes out, and then it disappears. So, that's all it is. These doubts are concerned. It has no more value than that. So, not only that, not only the doubt will go, the person who is doubting himself will disappear with that. This is that. That is what Krishna is saying. That is what that chinna samshayaha. Krishna has never valued doubts. You remember that? Krishna never talked about the doubts anywhere. Anywhere. Nowhere Krishna has spoken about the doubts. So chinna samshayaha. After saying, Krishna is saying there, that the doubts the person who is doubting ego is doubting. Ego has the doubt. Atma has no doubt. This has to be very clear within ourselves. Whenever doubt comes, you have to make this very, very clear within. Who has the doubt? My ego has the doubt. Atma has no doubt. Atma is full with all the knowledge. Isn't it? Therefore, he says here, Samshayatma Abhimani. Samshayatma Abhimani. That is the word they use. Krishna uses the word samshayalpa. Samshayalpa, abhimani. One who has got abhimanam. Abhimanam means ego. One who has got the ego, he has got samshayam, doubts. I think it is in the second chapter, Krishna mentions about this. Samshayalpa vinashyadi, he says. I look at that. It is in the fourth chapter. 40th verse. Have a look at that. See how... And when you read the Bhagavad Gita, you won't get an understanding why Krishna is saying this. If you look into the 4th chapter, 40th verse. Yeah. Ajnyascha Ashraddhadhanascha Samshayalpa Vinashyadi Nayam loko asti na paro na sukham samshayalpana. Remember that? Ajnyascha Ashraddhadhanascha Samshayalpa Vinashyadi Nayam loko asti na paro na sukham samshayalpana. When you read Bhagavad Gita, when you read this verse, people say, oh, Krishna is very much a dictator, isn't it? He says, whatever I say, you have to accept it. Many people have problem with this verse because they have not understood what Krishna is saying to us. If you read that verse, immediate response from those who are reading that verse, I don't know how it's spoken in the English edition. But ignorant and faithless persons who doubt the revealed scriptures do not attain God consciousness. They fall down. For the doubting soul, there is happiness neither in this world nor in the next. So, when you read that, a lot of people think everybody has doubts, isn't it? Who hasn't got a doubt? Tell me. There's nobody who hasn't got a doubt. So, when they read this verse, they start thinking that, oh, I should not have any doubt, isn't it? So, in fact, in future, I will not have any doubt. I made a decision. I'll just accept everything, whatever Krishna has spoken like that. No, that is not what Krishna wants us to do. What Krishna, we have to understand what Krishna is saying, And then you will know this thing called doubts itself is a bogus thing. That is how it should go. Not to think that, not that doubting is, Krishna is not saying that. Doubts, everybody has it. Who doesn't have the doubt? Everybody has doubts, isn't it? So, initially when we read Bhagavad Gita, when you read that verse, you will, what will happen is, you will start taking Bhagavad Gita as a book where you can't ask any questions, you can't doubt anything. Even if you are not understood, that is the truth, that way you have to accept it. That's difficult, that's tough, that's not possible. Nobody, human mind won't allow that to happen. So, therefore, the way to come out of this problem is to understand Bhagavad Gita properly, what Krishna is saying. If you understand that, then this verse becomes a lot easier to live with. Otherwise, somebody tells you, you are an ignorant, faithless person, and you don't believe in anything what I am telling you. What, you have no hope. You go to hell. So this kind of preaching is useless. This is not how Krishna preached Bhagavad Gita. What Krishna is saying to us is that, for the doubting soul, there is no happiness neither in this world nor in the next. So what will happen? You won't ask any doubt. You'll keep everything inside. Because if you ask any doubt, people will say to you, why you are having these doubts? Krishna is saying, and they will recite this, they will quote this verse to you, and then you can't say one word after that, can you? So, that is not how you do that. What we have to understand is, Krishna is explaining to us, where is this doubt coming from, first of all, and what value has it got? That is Krishna's point. Krishna is saying to us, your so-called doubt, when it comes, realized souls will tell you this. When the doubts are coming inside, you have to ask the question, who has the doubt? And you can see samshayatma abhimani. That means these doubts are coming nowhere else except from my ego. It's not coming from the self. Self is complete and perfect all the time. Nitya shuddha buddha mukta swarupam. That is self. Self has no doubt. Then who has the doubt? Ego has the doubt. And that these doubts are coming from the ego. And when you try to find out the ego, you see, realize that it is a false one. It's not a genuine one even, and therefore the doubt says no meaning either. So, samshayatma abhimani, and sometimes people think, oh, if I ask a lot of doubts, questions, I must be a very sincere person. People try to give that impression, isn't it? So, sometimes people ask the questions to please the teacher. They ask the questions to please the teacher. And they also want to show to you that I am a very genuine person and I have read and studied the books and I am very sincere. He wants to, therefore I am asking these doubts. That's this approach from the person. So, in the material life and the material knowledge, it's considered to be, it's appreciated very much, asking questions and doubts, isn't it? Equally, in the Karma Shastram, Karma Mimamsa also, asking doubts is considered to be good. To know, understand it better, isn't it? But in the spiritual knowledge, asking questions means you are already derailed. You have left the root. You lost it. Already you have lost it. If you are asking questions in spiritual life, it means that you have lost the track. You have lost the track. Brahmavidya. Brahmavidya's nature is like that. Because Brahmavidya has to come from inside. You cannot get it from outside. By asking questions, you won't get it. It's not. You are never going to get that answer from outside. It has to come from inside, from Antaryami. Brahmavidya is always like that. That is why, if you remember, Krishna mentions this in many places in the Bhagavad Gita also. So, and once that Brahmavidya has developed inside, from Antaryami, if it has happened, then you won't ask any question. You won't have to ask any question. And if you are still in the platform of asking question, it means that inside Brahmavidya has not come up at all. There is not any revelation inside of the Brahmavidya. That means the more the mind is gone out or your thoughts are outside, this will be the situation. That is why going inwards, every time we keep saying, that unless you go inward looking, inquiring self, becoming more and more withdrawn from the world outside and develop that nature of self-inquiry, this will not happen. Otherwise, you will remain always asking questions and getting answers. That will become the whole life business, which is a waste of time. Which is a waste of time. So, as long as there is this person inside who has got the doubts, that means samshayatma abhimani. That means that ego inside who is asking these questions, then that means you are in that level. In that level, you haven't come to the stage of Brahmavidya. Brahmavidya means man has the knowledge has woken up inside. And you started recognizing whatever Krishna has spoken, you are able to accept it without difficulty inside anymore. And if there is something not clear, you know very well, it is not, answer is not going to come from outside, it will only come from inside. This firm understanding will come inside, and therefore you are not going to ask any doubts to anybody after that. In the material world it is different. Material life we ask questions, we get answers from the college lectures and all that, isn't it? So, what is Acharya mentions here, that normally in this world we have this identity, I am a man, I am a woman, or I am a brahmana, I am a kshatriya, or I am a doctor, I am an engineer, or I am a teacher, I am a father, I am a mother, I am a mother. These are all our individual abhimanam, isn't it? Individual identity they are. Instead of that, you have become someone who has got a lot of doubts, that's all. There's not much difference than that. All of it is false, is it not? That if I start thinking I'm a man or woman, or I'm an engineer or a doctor, or any other professional person, or anything like that, any identity is also connected with my ego, is it not? Instead of that now, what's happening is, I've got all these doubts in spiritual life, and my ego is linked with that. Is linked with that. So, so instead of that, you have to ask this question, who has these doubts, isn't it? So, who is this? Samshayatmatvam abhimanitvena deha vridaha ajnaha. That is how he mentions there. Samshayatmatvaha abhimanitvena. That because of that samshayalpagatvam. Samshayalpagatvam means this doubting nature. They say doubting Thomas, isn't it? The same similar thing. It is that some people ask so many questions, and as though question will answer everything. Question cannot satisfy our problem. Problem is different. So, so because of the doubts inside, my ego is getting, instead of getting stuck with the doctor or engineer or something else, it is getting sticking to now these doubts, my ego. Instead of sticking to the professional position or engineer or doctor or whatever it is, or a man or woman or householder or brahmana or kshatriya or whatever it is, in different levels our ego sticks to something. So instead of sticking to any of those things, it is now sticking to all these doubts there. Isn't it? Atma kartrutva vijnana tatham vijnana daya. And because at that time inside me, I am the doer is very much there. I am the doer is very much there. So when we are asking these doubts, the biggest fault is, the greatest fault is this, that I am the person who is going to get the answer. That ego is inside. I want this answer to satisfy my ego. That's what it is. But we put it in a very nice way when we ask the question. But the underlying principle is this. This doubt is only to satisfy my ego. And not only that, I am also convincing myself, I am a person who is doing the self-inquiry. I am doing self-inquiry. And so, how do we have to do this self-inquiry then? That this self-inquiry, when we are doing it, we are also thinking like this, that I am a person who is doing the self-inquiry. There again, karta comes in, I am the doer. Is it not? So, self-inquiry has to happen in this way, that it should happen in a natural way in a person, without making it another karma. You see, karma when we do, always we identify with the karma, we say, I am the doer. is there behind every karma. But when self-inquiry is happening in a person, he shouldn't identify with it, I am doing self-inquiry. That should not happen. Because if doubts are coming, it means that inside that person, I am doing the self-inquiry is there in him. That is what is indicating to us. So, not only that, he is also saying that a person is asking this question, his expectation is that if he gets his answer, then I will do it in the proper way, if I get the proper answer, and then I am going to realize the truth later. So, and that is the greatest ignorance. These are the subtle aspects of self-realization. That self-realization is not that you have some questions and you get the answer to that questions and then I will get self-realization later. This is not how it works. It doesn't work like that. Or you are thinking that I am halfway through and I got to go a little more further and I need this knowledge to complete that. This is all in the material life, is it not? Material life, it is like that. That we always say that this knowledge, that knowledge helps my profession or whatever it is. But here, it doesn't work like that. Every moment, if doubts are coming, you have to ask this question, who has the doubts? Because the ego, which is going and sticking to different things, you shouldn't allow the ego to go and stick to the doubts also, in the same way. Removal of ego is more important than these doubts. So, that is somewhat subtle and also we won't be conscious of that all the time. That's why we keep asking questions. So, many realized souls, when you go to them and ask any questions, they know very well these things. Because they have gone through this stage once. So, they know, they won't encourage you asking questions. If they see the person is interested in asking questions, they will ask, reply will be, have you had prasadam? Have some prasadam first, then we can discuss after that. That will be the answer. Many of them do exactly the same thing. They would not encourage this question business, question-answer business. So, because they know it is the biggest avidya inside, his ego is so strong that he wants the answer for all his questions and then he is going to realize the self. That's not going to happen, isn't it? So, what they give the example is that you are trying to jump over a well, you have jumped half the way and you are standing there to jump the remaining half in that way, which is not possible, is it not? So here Krishna is saying also that we can't do this because problem where these doubts are coming from is that doubts are appearing and the ego is getting strengthened by that because we are mixed up with the body and the mind. When it is mixed up with the body and the mind, at that time, all these things will happen. That is why these doubts are coming from. And any emotions or any thought waves cannot stay inside unless it is connected to this ego. Unless it is connected. Ego is the fulcrum on which it is moving around. Ahankaram is the powerful force inside. And that ahankaram is the pivot on which all our thoughts, all our emotions are functioning inside, isn't it? So, so this is spoken very explicitly here out of their mercy to us, that they want us to understand this is where we stand. So, our basic fault, what is that? Because I'm thinking that this false ego is real. It's a real thing. And I'm also thinking that I have to get the answer to all my questions. Only then I can accept this spiritual knowledge or what Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavad Gita. This is the problem. That because if this ego is very strong inside, you will see they are the people who have got the greatest doubts. And their approach itself is wrong in spiritual life. They are thinking that if I get all the answers to my questions and then I will work out my way in spiritual living, my own way, I will realize the truth, isn't it? And I am going to become something after I get the answers. As so, because of the answers were not there, that is what is holding me back in realizing the truth. This is all in my inside me. This ajnanam. This is called avidya. In fact, they say in Haridwar, there was a great Mahatma who lived there long time ago. So, he had enough of these people who comes asking doubts about them. So what he used to do, he used to tell them, don't come. He used to tell them, don't come to me, he said to them. Because people come, ask questions and then they go. They don't want to do anything. They don't want to follow anything and they don't want to listen to anything. Every day they keep coming, this book, that book, that book. So many books they read and they come with questions to him. So what he did, he found a new technique. That was his best technique ever heard. He said, any time they'll come and they'll ask questions, he won't answer anything. Then he'll say to him, Maharaj, please bless me. Then he'll say, you die. Go and die, he says. This was his blessing to them. You go and die. Then if he says anything further, whatever you have got, let it all go, he said. He says to, this is his blessing. First he'll say, you die and I bless you, that's why you die immediately. Second thing he'll say, whatever you have got, let it all go. He says like that. So, and whoever has joined you, let them all leave you and go. In everything, whatever you don't want in life, he will bless you like that. So, when he started blessing like this, people stopped going to him. He escaped from the problem. Actually, he had the best intentions in him. When he said, you die, what he was saying was that, let your ego die first. That was the blessing from him. And then he says, you should lose everything what you have got. That means, including your body, mind, intelligence. Let you not have this body, mind, intelligence. In other words, realize the truth yourself. So he used to say, this is my blessing. If you want, you take it. If you don't like it, you leave it, he said to them. You can leave there and go, he said that. So, because these things are going to happen one day or the other. Body will go, the mind will go, intelligence will go, everything will go, isn't it? So, it's not that because he has said that it is going to happen, but this is what is going to happen. Whether he has spoken the truth or not, that's what's going to happen. So, his point was that if a person is able to understand this, if he is conscious of this, then he won't be asking these stupid questions. If you are always conscious that death is waiting at the doorstep, today we are in one particular situation with so-called friends, family, society and everything. Krishna can pick us up from here and put in another situation somewhere else, completely new, and you grow up there again in a similar way like you did here. It's not a very pleasant thing, is it? That you are stuck in one situation now where you have connected and you are living here with anxiety when you have to leave all this body, mind and friends, society, everything. And we know very well, sooner or later, Krishna will take us out from here. Forcefully leave everything here and put us in another situation, another set of friends, family, and like this, life after life after life. This is our existence and this material existence. It's like that. So, Krishna is saying to us that this, unless this situation changes, and when you go to the next situation, the same anxieties, same miseries, whatever it is there now, will all come back again. Only thing is, there are different people involved at that time, different environment, different world, different place, and different situation. That's all it is. All the similar problems comes back again. So, Krishna is saying here, so, then, this death is the main topic here. In order to understand that, the power of that death, we have to die ourselves once and experience that, isn't it? That means while living in this world, experiencing the death in the body. This is why most of the jnanis who have realized that is the path they have selected, isn't it? So, whenever doubt is coming to the mind, you have to ask the question, suppose if I am dead, will I be asking doubts? Will I be asking doubts? So, many big personalities have analyzed death while living in this world. Because they have seen the nature of this world. The nature of this world. Temporarily, you have been thrown into some situation. And in that situation, you have linked yourself with, connected up with so many people in the friends, family, society and everything. And you are thinking, oh, I'm okay in this society, everything seems to be working for me and I'm settled, peaceful and this thing, that thing. But Krishna can change the whole thing and take you out from this situation and throw you into another situation with a similar surrounding again. And you will meet up with new people, a new friends, new family, new society, and you keep changing this life after life. Is that very pleasant? That's what Krishna is asking. And if you consider this as the happy state, then then there's nothing can be done. This Patanath Swamiji, he is mentioned, says there that some people, he says there, whatever you tell them, it is risky because they will stop all their activities, and anything that is spoken, how it will be received by others, it's very difficult to say. Because Krishna mentions here that samshayalpa, that verse, you see that, the word ajna, ajnyascha, see what samshayalpa is. Ajnyascha, ashraddhadhanascha, samshayalpa, vinashari. Nayam loko asti, na paro, na sukham. Samshayatmana. Very important verse. He's saying here, Ajnyascha. Ajnya means he's a jnani, he is. He has no knowledge. He has no knowledge of the self inside. That Atma is there. And knowledge of the self. He doesn't have it. Ajnyascha. Not only that, Ashraddhadhanascha. He's saying here, Ashraddhadhanascha. He has no Shraddha in there, in him. There are so many people like that, isn't it? In this world, you see that? So many people. Ajnyascha, ashraddhadhanascha. We are not condemning them. What Krishna is saying to us is, this is our pathetic situation. That's what Krishna is reminding us. Ajnyascha, ashraddhadhanascha. And for them, samshayalma. He is samshayalma, vinashyari. You talk to people about Bhagavad Gita and the knowledge in the Bhagavad Gita, how people will answer. They say, oh well, we can't accept this, we can't accept this. They can't accept anything because the ego is so strong inside. Is it not? So that when that ego is so strong, all their doubts also will be very strong. Samshayalma, vinashyari. Krishna saying it's very difficult for a person to move further in spiritual path. Why? Nayam logo asti na paro. In this world also he is suffering. And he will suffer after leaving this body also. Why? Because he will get another body with a similar consciousness. With more doubts. And again another environment. And he will go through the same misery what he is experiencing now. Only thing is, he has got another body. That's all. There is no difference at all. Nayam logo asti na paro na sukham. He can never be peaceful inside samshayalmana because of his doubts inside. So, samshayam or doubts is our biggest enemy. And it is not considered to be a good thing in Brahmavidya, in advancing in spiritual path. There, where if you ask this question, who has the doubt? And if you know that it is my own ego that is demanding these answers, Atma is not asking for any answer. Atma, all Atma wants is to remove that jnanam inside, avidya inside, what has been built up over several lifetimes, identification with the body. So, samshayalpa vinashyari, Krishna mentions there. So samshayalpa vinashyari means, with the doubt, because of the doubts, you are feeling ego inside. Oh, I got all these doubts, so I must be an intelligent person. This is the problem. And that is what Krishna says, vinashyari. He is supposed to vinashyari. Vinashyari means that he says here that he will be falls back. That's a very light word. Vinashyari means he will be completely destroyed. He cannot go further. Samshayalpa vinashyari. Na soham samshayalpana. Again stress that. Ajnyascha, ashraddhadhanascha, samshayatma vinashari. Nayam logo asti na paro na sukham samshayatmana. Now, samshayatmana, why Krishna is saying this is not because that he is trying to dictate something to us. What he is saying to us is that try to understand where the doubts are coming from. It's coming from your own ego. And if you don't attach your ego with your doubts, you can escape from here. But if you start asking doubts after doubts about various things and trying to clarify everything, because whenever the doubts are coming, you can immediately take it that in that person, I am the doer and I am the enjoyer. That means kartrutvam and bhoktrutvam is very alive in that person. That's what it is. Kartrutvam and bhoktrutvam, I am the doer and I am the enjoyer, is fully alive in that person when these doubts are coming from there. And he cannot say anything because even if you tell him anything, it will not have any effect. Because properly, if Vedanta philosophy is properly understood, what Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavad Gita, and after that, if you have got it properly, then you won't ask any more any questions to anybody. And there is nothing more to ask after that. There is nothing to ask anymore if Bhagavad Gita is understood properly. There is nothing more to ask because it's so explained so well in the Bhagavad Gita about ego, about the self, about intelligence, about the body, prakriti, purusha, everything, isn't it? So, what is indicating it to us that if properly if that has happened to a person, then he will not come anymore to even hear Bhagavad Gita if it has happened to that person. In other words, there is nothing but to know again and again anymore. But for one's own swanibhava, swanibhava means that one's own experiencing that, relishing that, he can hear that again for the sake of happiness. Because when truth is spoken, it is always interesting to hear that, is it not? So for that purpose. So, but there is nothing to be known after that. It is only for when you have realized something, when you have realized what Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavad Gita. If you have realized it, it is always a pleasure to sit and listen to it again and again. But that is for anandam, for bliss. But not for the sake of clarifying doubts anymore. Because there is nothing more to be known. That's what it called it as jijnyasa nivritti. Jijnyasa nivritti. And jijnyasa nivritti means that this inquiring business itself stops at that point. No more further inquiry. Nirvedam. Because nirvedam, another word used there, knowledge also is a disturbance. Knowledge is also a disturbance. Because knowledge is also another kind of ignorance. Knowledge is also another kind of ignorance. And that's also troublesome. And that is why in the Bhagavatam also you will see this. In the Ekadasha Skandam, Krishna mentions this. That this comes somewhere. Krishna says this to Uddhava, that is the 10th chapter of the 11th canto. But here in the Narayaniyam it summarized that verse. Ajariyo khyadarani star ani samanimila chishya rubottarani avedhod bhasudena sputadara paribhodhagnina dekhyamani karmali vasanatal kritatanu bhuvana bhrandi kandhara bhure dahya bhavena vidya shikhinicha virade tonmayi khalavasta. This is the verse in the Narayaniyam. What Krishna says in the Bhagavatam is, in the Ekadasha Skandam, if you look, you will see, Acharyorani and Andasis Uttararani, Talsandhanam, that verse. Yeah, Vidyasandhi Sukhavaha. Talsandhanam Pravachanam Vidyasandhi Sukhavaha. That is what that state is. So, Yeah. ആചാര്യോരണിരാദ്യസ്യാൽ അന്തേവാ സുത്തരാരണി തൽസന്ധാനം പ്രവചനം വിദ്യാസന്ധി സുഖാവഹ. Then Krishna is saying, Vaisharadi sadhi vishuddha buddhir dunodhi mayam gunasam prasutam gunamsha sandahyadatmamedan svayanja shamyatta samin yadagni. That is what it is Krishna is saying here. Vaisharadi sadhi vishuddha buddhi. That Vaisharadi buddhi. Vaisharadi buddhi, when it happened, vishuddha buddhi. Buddhi has become pure. That means this doubting business has stopped completely. Then, dunodhi mayam gunasam prasudam. They have got released from the grip of maya. Means three modes of material nature. Gunamsha sandahe alpamedat. You can see the gunam separately from alma. Alma's identity as the self separately. Soyanja shamidi asamid yadhagni. At that time, all those questions and doubts and everything, it burns into ashes in the fire of knowledge. And that is that state Krishna is talking about here in this verse. You see? Then he say here that this knowledge, 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 we keep saying knowledge. Where does this knowledge ends? Knowledge has to come to an end. Because realization is more important than the knowledge. Knowledge is all completely on the intellectual level. But if when one day realization comes, then there will be no more knowledge either. Knowledge is also another kind of avidya it is. Another kind of ignorance it is. For example, you study a lot of books and you collect a lot of information and you say that you got a lot of knowledge. That is all useless. But when you have realized the truth, at that time you see even this knowledge what you have got from the books is also useless. Why? Because you are experiencing it now, the truth. And that is what Krishna is saying in that verse. Vaisharadi sadhi vishuddha buddhi. For him, what is important that is, that vishuddha buddhi. And everything has burned in that, including the knowledge is also burned in that, burned into ashes, Krishna is saying here. Burned into ashes. Vidya shikhi vinijadam tunmai khal avastha. That avastha, that state. That devotee, the disciple and the spiritual master had that interaction between them. And the spiritual master and the disciple had the doubts before. And spiritual master has answered the question, not on an intellectual level, but it was transmitted to him. And in that process, all his doubts got burnt into ashes. He realized that there is no such thing called doubt. Doubt is all on a mental platform. It has no meaning more than that. It's not going to answer anything. So both when vidya, avidya, when all that get burnt into ashes, that is when you experience Krishna, experience Atma, Self. Therefore, knowledge is also not the answer. And even when you leave that also, because if you have collected a lot of information from the books, in different books, and not knowledge also, when you leave that also, you become perfect. You become perfect. Otherwise, what will happen is, it is still there inside, ego dictating. I have got all this information. I know all these things. I have read all these books. And I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, is still inside very strongly. Tasya ashesha karma parityagasya alankrutvad. So, as long as we have this kartrutvam, I am the doer, you cannot leave karma. You cannot leave karma. For example, if you externally certain things you can give up, externally, but inside you can't leave it. If this kartrutvam is inside, kartrutvam inside. For example, suppose you can say that, oh, I have given up now all my spiritual activities, karma. I don't go to the temple anymore. I've stopped chanting and I don't chant my Gayatri, or I don't do anything like that. But you can also see, you won't be able to do the same thing with your breathing, can you? You can't say, I'm going to give up breathing now. Or I'm going to stop walking. I'm going to stop eating. Or I'm going to stop sleeping. You won't leave all that. You can give up the karma like this. But here, chanting, meditation, all these things are not spoken because normal karma, what we're talking about is this eating, sleeping and things like that. And not being connected with any emotions in daily life. And the reason why we do not understand our own, why we don't experience ourselves is this. Because as soon as you wake up in the morning, the first thing we think about is maintaining the body. Is it not? The first thought that comes to us is about the body. As soon as you wake up, first thing is, oh, to go to the bathroom and finish up all the morning duties, brushing the teeth, bathing, everything. And then you are planning for your breakfast. And then you also know that by evening you have to finish certain work so that you can sleep in the night. Isn't it? And all the other vyavaharam, what is planned for the day. So all these are called vikalpam. They are our main problems, isn't it? If our attention has fallen into this vikalpam inside, our attention, shraddha, on the real vastu inside has gone at that point. But instead, to remain as atma, even while doing all this vyavaharam outside, it is the most important thing. That means that sleeping, waking up, eating and doing all this vyavaharam, all these are things what is happening in the prakriti. Krishna spoke this in the Bhagavad Gita. You know that. Krishna said all these things, eating, sleeping, working and all other vyavaharam what you are doing, that is all within the prakriti. You have to always remember this. That in prakriti all these things are happening. And there you don't have any freedom. You don't have any freedom. You don't have any freedom within the prakriti. If you look into the 5th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna will mention this. That while within the prakriti, while talking about the yogi is saying here, naiva kinjil, that is the 8th verse, 5-8. Naiva kinjil karomiti yukto manyena tattvavit pashvan shrinvan sprishan jagman ashnan gachan sopan shwasan pralaban visajan grhman unmishan nimishan nabi indriyan indriyateshu vartanda idhidharayan. That's what it is. Saying here that a person in divine consciousness, although engaged in seeing, hearing, touching, smelling, eating, moving about, sleeping, breathing, always knows within himself that he actually does nothing at all. You see? And because while speaking, evacuating, receiving, or opening or closing his eyes, he always knows that only the material senses are engaged with their objects and that he is aloof from them. Isn't it? So, senses are linked up with the sense objects. And me, I am always situated in the platform of the self. I am in the pure consciousness. So, this truth can only be understood from the realized souls. This is all the theory what Krishna has spoken. But what Krishna is saying to us is that this is the reality of a person who has escaped from the grip of prakriti. The grip of prakriti. When you are inside the prakriti, you don't have any freedom. That means that whatever prakriti is dictating, you just have to act along with that. You don't have any freedom. But therefore, till this realization comes, you can imagine all of us when we wake up in the morning, first thing is worrying about the body, isn't it? Maintaining the body for the day. And as I said before, as soon as there is some problem with the body, as soon as there is some problem in the vyavaharam, there is some problem in the family, our so-called Bhagavad Gita knowledge, everything is gone. You can only say, only in vyavaharam and when body has some problem or family has some problem, at that time, if this knowledge is working in us, then you can say you have realizations. Otherwise not. So, Krishna's point here is that that as long as this vyavaharam is going on in this world, and as much as this activities are happening in relationship with the body, all the doubts will come and they will push the knowledge out and you will be get victimized by that. When it is like that, you cannot become a Tyagi. Tyagi, Sattva Samavishta, Medhavi, Chinna Samshaya. Chinna Samshaya means, in Vyavaharam you should not get doubt. Not otherwise. Otherwise it is easier. Suppose you are sitting here, we are talking, discussing, you are reading Bhagavad Gita and you are able to digest it. But when you leave this place and you go and do Vyavaharam, and in Vyavaharam if this power of knowledge is not there, and you are getting victimized by the Vyavaharam, it means what? You are not Chinna Samshaya. You still have Samshayam inside. So therefore that verse is important. The 10th verse.
What Krishna is saying there? Krishna is saying that na dveshti akushalam karma kushale nanushajyade tyagi sattva samavishto medhavi chinna samshayaha. It's not a simple verse. It is a state where even in the vyavaharam you have no doubts. That state, chinna samshayaha. That's the only state you can say chinna samshayam. Otherwise you still have samshayam. If you have, it's one thing listening and accepting with the mind and intelligence. It's another thing when it comes into what we say in English is in real life, we say, isn't it? In real life, and that's what it is. Krishna's real life, Krishna is talking about. Every time we say the same things, in real life. Every time we hear that, isn't it? In real life, they say. So, till that happens, Shrodavya, Mandavya, Nididhyasidavya. That's the answer. You have to keep hearing, you have to keep reflecting on that, and you have to develop the Nididhyasanam inside. To hold on to that, like they say, that the oil that flows from the pot, this is a continuous flow, in the same way, it has to become inside. Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam. Those three things. So, those verses, what Krishna has spoken so far, is all about karma. Why necessity for karma to be pure? Karma has to purify. So, satyagam, nadveshtya kushalam karma kushale nani sajjade tyagi sattva samavishto medhavi chinna samshaya. The intelligent renouncer, situated in the mood of goodness, neither hateful of inauspicious work, nor attached to auspicious work, has no doubts about work. It's only at that stage this will happen. This will happen. So till this experience comes to us, which one? This state. Medhavi Chinna Samshaya. Up to that point, we have to keep hearing the truth again and again. And that is what Krishna says there, and ashesha karma parityagaha. That means, till up to that point, till it comes in experience level, this knowledge, what Krishna has spoken, till it comes into the experience level, you have no freedom, escape from the material existence. Samsara uparamattva. Uparamattva means escape from the material existence. And you will be again in this vicious cycle of bondage or birth and death, isn't it? Or in the bondage. So, because of that, what happens is, prakriti, material nature, will force us to act in karma. Karma. Just like, you know, in the olden days, now there is a grinder. In the past they had this one stone, and there's another stone on top of that, which you keep on rotating, and in the middle you put the grains and it get ground, isn't it? Similarly, prakriti will grind us in this world. She will grind us in this world till we come to this
Understood? He won't allow us to escape so easily from here, isn't it? And those who have used that stone, they know it, how it works, isn't it? So the interesting thing in that is, it won't allow the grains to come out, it'll fall back into it, and you keep on grinding it till it is a finer paste. So similarly, Prakriti also, Prakriti is like that. She will grind us and us more and more within this Prakriti, under the modes of nature, and nobody can escape from here. And the only escape is this, when you realize the self who you are, then you have escaped. That is why Krishna is saying here that as long as you have bodily identity, a limited bodily identity is there, he cannot give up karma completely. He cannot give karma completely. So what is the best thing to do then? There's only one option you have got there. If you understand this principle very well, then you will appreciate this. What Krishna is saying here is that if you are in this situation now, you are under the grip of Prakriti, and Prakriti won't let you escape from here very easily. As I said before, today you have one society, one community, and one family, and in that you are feeling some happiness here. Overnight, Krishna can take you out from this so-called society, community, everything, put you into another society and another community somewhere else, and you will start the whole business again, what you were having here before. So this is material nature's way of grinding us. That's how she grinds us. That is the material Prakriti's nature. So the best thing to do in that situation is that things which are very dear to us, hand over to Krishna. Hand over to Krishna. And not anything, little things. Bhagavatam says, yadyad ishtadamam loke yachadi priyamalpana tattannivedayan mahyam tada anandhyaya kalpade. Uddhava. Krishna says to Uddhava, yadyad ishtadamam loke yachadi priyamalpana. Whatever Krishna has given us, and whatever we have a lot of attachment to, give that to Krishna. That is the way to free yourself from this complicated situation. There is no other way. Because karma vishuddhi means that, remember last time we talked about this, this kartrutva bhoktrutvam is holding us very, very tight. And therefore there is no question of escaping from this without understanding what is actually holding us back. Because of this, I am the doer, I am the enjoyer. And from this to escape, Krishna is saying here that if you are in that situation, the best thing to do is to recognize this, that I want to escape from this situation once for all, and therefore everything Krishna says, offer it to me. Offer it to me. Yadyad ishtadamam loke yachadi priyamalpana tattan nivedayan mahyam tada anandhyaya kalpade. That you won't know it on day one. You will realize it as much as you download to Krishna, you will know this freedom happening inside, how you are getting released from the grip of Prakriti. That will come to us in a very natural way, that realization will happen. So, Krishna is saying here, if you, those who are connected to Krishna in that way, to them Krishna says, I will take it from you. I'll take it from you if you give it to me. But I'll take it from you. So, our doubt is, can I give it to Krishna like that, isn't it? So, when Krishna likes it, when a stage comes, Krishna will start taking it out. If you don't give it to him. Like Mahabali's case. You remember? Mahabali, Krishna went to Mahabali and told him, I need this 3 feet, isn't it? Mahabali handed over the 2 feet. But Krishna says to you, told me 3 feet, you only given me 2 feet, where is the third one? He asked Mahabali, isn't it? So, if anybody asks like this, we won't give it, would it? So, that is why that maturity in the knowledge has to happen inside. If you start giving to Krishna, what will happen is, after a while, Krishna will come and plunder the whole thing. He'll pull out everything from the person, isn't it? So that is why Krishna says that if you give me a little space inside, then you will see what happens. He's not a very good guest that way. If you give Krishna something, then he will make sure that he completely rip you off everything from inside. Isn't it? Tyagi, and that is that word referring to Tyagi Sattva Samavishta. You see that word? It implies a lot, actually. Tyagi Sattva Samavishta Medhavi Chinna Samshaya. Sattva Samavishta, Tyagi, he is in that state. So first thing is offering the results, offering the results to Krishna. And whatever that pleases Krishna, offer that to him. Or whatever you are attached to very strongly, give that to Krishna. That is the principle. Whatever you are very closely attached to, you can't do business with Krishna. If you start thinking that, oh, I have given you all this, what has I got from you? If you go with that approach, nothing will happen. Whatever you have gotten, that's gone. If that approach is taken. The real approach is that Krishna is the proprietor. Remember, this is the same point spoken. Dravya, Dravya, Advaitam, Kriya, Advaitam, Bhava, Advaitam in the Bhagavatam. It's all referring to this only. That to develop that relationship with Krishna, as long as this whole karma saga, he has spoken about this karma, is only to make us aware that in the field of karma, we have no freedom. Why? Kartrutva Bhoktrutvam is there. What can be done? How to come out of it? And the answer to that, Krishna is saying here, that within the field of Prakriti, Prakriti will force this on you. But there is one escape route. That escape route is, if you start giving it to me, and if you start recognizing me as the proprietor of everything, and if you relinquish the ownership and handing it over to me, that way you will see that you are getting released from the Prakriti. Prakriti will start releasing you from that. That's the point he's making here. So, wherever our ego is identifying, for example, ego has so many places of identification, isn't it? All that hand over to Krishna. And that tyagam, Krishna is saying here, sometimes when you have that sacrifice, sometimes your ego can get hurt, isn't it? And you will say that some of the identification, you are finding it difficult to give it away. But what Krishna is pointing out here, If you are identifying with any object in this world, doesn't matter what it is, any of those objects, with persons or objects, whatever it is, sometimes that object will experience difficulty, experience problems. Either it will be taken away by somebody, and or when the ownership comes to that, in the Bhagavatam it mentions like this, that if somebody else comes and takes it away, you should take it that it is Krishna's grace. You know, these problems exist in all the family's life, particularly in the householder life. That sometimes, due to family circumstances, among the family members also, there is argument about the assets and partition, and all that happens in the family. And there is a tremendous argument about it. And some instances, some people are unhappy about it, the outcome of that, whatever that has happened. If by chance, if Krishna has taken it away, you have to accept it in this way. Not to think that, oh, I didn't get this or I didn't get that. Instead, one has to accept it this way, that Krishna has taken it away from me. Actually, Krishna has helped me to get over that situation. Because in Kapilopadesham, in the teachings of Lord Kapila, he says here, when it is taken away, only then people will cry. Everything is taken away. So at that time you have to know that is Krishna's grace. When you are made a pauper, in all places in the Bhagavatam, Krishna repeats that. Krishna says this to Mahabali, Krishna says this to, in the Dashamaskandam also, in the 10th canto, you will see there. And Krishna has done this to all the great personalities. He has taken it away. Only thing is, before Krishna takes it away, you have to start giving it to him. Only then he will start taking it away. If you don't give it to him, then Krishna says karma, loss of karma will follow. Whatever you will get it, you will get it according to the karma. So, that is why, yasyaham anugrahanami harishyet dhanam shanai tato dhanam tejandasya sajanal dukha dukhida. Famous words in the 10th canto. Similarly, there is another place to Mahabali also, exactly the same thing Krishna has spoken there. So, wherever this ego is going and sticking to, ego is sticking to all these things, my property, my money, my wealth, my bank balance, and that Krishna will smash it. He will smash it. If you don't give it, one day it will be smashed. And then that is all called dhumsana. Dhumsana means smashing it down. So when that happens, you have to take it as Krishna's grace. So if you look into the third canto, see how Krishna puts that. In the Kapilopadesham, you will see there, third canto, it is in the 27th, I think, chapter. Then 16th verse.
Evam pratyavamrishyasam almanam pratipadyate sahangarasya dravyasya yo avasthanam anugraha.
That's the verse. Sahangarasya dravyasya. To all the dravyam wealth in this world, whatever we have acquired in this world, our ahangaram is sticking to that. To the wealth what we have acquired in this world. Sahangarasya dravyasya yo avasthanam anugraha. When I will pull that out, so that your hangaram born, your hangaram will go. First of all, the hangaram has to go. If the hangaram doesn't go, self-realization is not possible. So therefore, first of all, hangaram has to be smashed down. And this hangaram, it is always attached to dravyam, to the wealth, what one has acquired in this world. So sahangarasya dravyasya yo avasthanam anugraha. When I am doing that, Kapilamaharshi says there, that avasthanam is anugraham, is actually his grace, is mercy from Krishna. See, from Krishna. Therefore, therefore, before that happens, if voluntarily, if you offer to Krishna, you will not be in trouble. Before that happens, best thing is to voluntarily offer it to Krishna. Rather than waiting for Krishna to smash it and take it away from us, isn't it? If you do like that, you will notice also, this is a practice, one has to try it out. If you keep on giving it to Krishna, every time you make an offering to Krishna, you will see that you are getting a little realization from inside. Atma will reveal itself to you, and you will find this happiness what we are talking about, spiritual happiness that is coming from within. Is not by accumulation that will happen. It is by giving up it happens. This is the principle. So afterwards what will happen? If you keep on practicing that, after a long time, you will see the mind will become very light. The power of that mind, because mind is too strong. Mind is not allowing. Every time you want to do something good, mind comes and says, oh no, don't do this. If you give all the money like this, what will happen? Tomorrow, how will you survive in this world? This fear will come. And who throws that? The mind does that. From inside. But actually, all the great souls, they have lived in this way, completely taking Krishna shelter. Namaskandam, the ninth canto is full of stories of this. That all what they have done is, completely depending on Krishna shelter, whatever wealth they had, they simply handed over all the time for Krishna's happiness. Because they followed this process very well. This is why ninth canto is important in the Bhagavatam. That there you will see there. So, after that, if you practice this, what will happen is, after a while, this mind, which is always coming on the way, the power of that mind will go. You know very well, in this world, whatever wealth you accumulate, your happiness is limited. It is already decided what you will get. You may have a lot of wealth. Suppose you get sick tomorrow and you are lying in the bed. What that wealth is going to do for you? Is it not? So, happiness is not dependent on any of these things. Happiness is Krishna's special grace. That is what keeps us going in this world. Not any of our wealth or our particular strength. There's nothing here we can depend on. Prakriti won't allow you to escape. Prakriti will teach you, otherwise forcefully she will have to do it one day. This is the sad side. That if you don't follow Bhagavad Gita, if you don't follow Krishna's instructions properly, then what will happen is Prakriti will take over. And she will have to teach us in a very hard way, and that will not be very sweet. It will be very painful. at that time. So, Karma Yoga, the effect of Karma Yoga is like this. The whole purpose of Karma Yoga is only one thing, to make our mind a little bit lighter. A little bit lighter. That mind has got a speed of acting very fast in life, isn't it? Mind comes in the front and making decisions. Before we can even think about it, the mind starts dictating from inside. To reduce that speed of the mind, it is for that purpose this Karma Yoga is spoken. Karma Yoga is spoken. So more and more the speed of the mind comes down, that you can see here that Chit Shakti inside from Antaryami, it will start slowly entering into our consciousness. And that is what Krishna is saying there. Tyagi, Tyagi means one who is giving up all the time. Tyagi, Sattva Samavishta, that Sattva Gunam comes in, Medhavi, Chinna Samshaya, doubts also goes. That's the only way these doubts will go. If somebody asks you a question, does Krishna exist? How will you answer that? You can take him to the temple and show him, this is Krishna exists, here is this deity. But that's not convinced. Convincing is, answer is, you yourself experiencing it. Once you have experienced it, then you don't have to ask anybody about it, isn't it? That's the only way in Krishna consciousness you can progress. That means, to follow Krishna's instructions and experience it the way Krishna says that. And then you don't need another explanation to it. Another explanation to it. Krishna is saying to us that Tyagi, one who is announcing things like that, for him, Satugunam will build up inside in such a way that he will get released from the grip of karma and the mind. Tyagi, Sattva Samavishta, and Medhavi. His proper consciousness will build up inside in such a way. Chinna Samshayaha. He won't have any more doubts about these things because he has experienced it within. He doesn't need to get it from outside. Somebody has to show it to him or answer any questions or anything like that, because it's a direct experience within. That's the way it works. Spiritual life works like that. So, what it means is, Krishna is saying, if you follow these injunctions, this grace, Kripa Shakti, Krishna's Kripa, will inside Antaryami is aware how genuine and sincere you are. Antaryami knows that. If you are genuine and sincere, Antaryami will slowly start giving you that strength from inside to continue with it. But if you pull back, hold back, Antaryami also holds back. Remember this, people say, if you make one step, Krishna will come 10 steps further. What does it mean? What it means is that Krishna will recognize that you have a genuine feeling for Krishna, wants to serve Krishna with a wholeheartedly, and not holding on to anything as your own, and surrendering to Krishna continuously throughout life. If you practice that, you will see that Krishna will also responding in the same way from inside. This is the secret of Karma Yoga. Karma Yoga is based on this principle. So Krishna's Kripa Shakti, that power of grace, is little by little you will start experiencing, and its power, and it starts invading us inside. Invading us inside. And that is what is called that word, Sattva Samavishta. It's not a simple word like that. Only if you understand the depth of that word, what is that Sattva Samavishta means. It's such a powerful word, that Sattva Samavishta. A very important word as well. Because when Sattva Samavishta happens to someone, it's not like some light will burn inside or anything. No, it happens due to what? Due to our surrender inside. Genuinely, if you are surrendering to Krishna, and genuinely, if you have developed attachment for Krishna, and you are offering to Krishna your mind, your life, body, everything what you have to Krishna, from inside, Antaryami really revealing that to you, that you are in the right track, and giving you that confirmation from inside. That is Sattva Samavishta. Medhavi, Chinna Samshaya. Then you won't have any more doubts. What doubts to ask then, when you are experiencing it yourself? Where's the question of asking doubt after that? That is the point. That's the point. Medhavi, Chinna Samshaya. Medhavi, Chinna Samshaya. So, outside this mind, apart from this mind, there is another power, what is known as Chit Shakti, which comes from the cell, Antaryami inside. And that Chit Shakti becomes the shelter rather than the mind. In our impure state, avidya state, we take the shelter of the mind. What our mind is telling us, we go along with it. But at the same time, due to renunciation, tyagam, tyagam means sacrificing constantly, this swarupa anubhav, experiencing of the self within, and that is why Krishna is saying here that the saying that Krishna spoke in that verse, which one? The 14th verse. Adhishtanam tatha karta. Why I have said all these things is, you have to remember one more important thing. These rules, karta, adhishtanam, karta, karanam, pradagvidham, vidicha, vividascha, pradagchesta, devam, chayavatra, panchamam. All these things only apply when you are within the grip of prakriti. But suppose you have taken the other approach, what Krishna has spoken, like in the Bhagavadam, that yadyadishtadamam loge yachadi priyamalpana tattannivedayan mahyam tada anandhyaya kalpade. Krishna is saying that also in the Ekadasha Skandam, isn't it? Here Krishna is saying adhishtanam tadha karta karananja pradakvidam vividascha pradakchesta devam chayavatra panchamam. Once you have gone to that, then this world, this doesn't apply. You see? Here, adhishtanam tadakartham karananja pradakvidam and vivadascha pradakchesta devyam chayvatra panchamam. It is only for that person who is in the grip of prakriti. Krishna is saying, if you want to come out of these things all together, the solution to that problem is yadyadishtadavam loge yachadi priyamalpana tattan nivedayan mahyam tada anandhyaya kalpade. That is a different law there. Different rules apply there. These rules don't apply there anymore. That is the important point. So these five things, which one? Adhishtanam, Kartha, Cheshta, Karanam, Devam. Tyagi does not have that. It doesn't apply to Tyagi. It doesn't apply to Tyagi. Because he says here that Anyam Bhavadi, Bhavadi Atyaginam Nadu Sanyasinam Kochil. It is also mentioned in the Ajaya Swami's Mahashim also, he says that. He said, it is for the Ajnani, ignorant person, all these rules apply. Only for the ignorant one, not for everybody else. That is the important point to know. Sanyasinam kochit. Yeah. Adhishtanam tadakarta karananja pradakvidam devidascha pradakchesta devam chayvantra panchamam. So, all these five things are only for the ajnani. That we must know that. We should know the both sides of it. When these verses are spoken, oh, you shouldn't take it straight away and start thinking that, all this applies to all. It doesn't apply to all. Those who have gone on the spiritual path and gone very high in the spiritual path, they won't be applied by these verses. These verses won't apply to them. And so, but in order that the karma to become successful, these five factors has a influence on that. That he has mentioned in the 13th verse, isn't it? See that in the 13th verse he said, Panjaidani Mahabaho Karanani Nibhodame Sankhe Kridande Proktani Siddhaye Sarvagarmanam. See that? Panjaidani Mahabaho, that is the verse before Adhishtanam Tadakarta. The five things are Adhishtanam, Karta, Karanam, Cheshta, Devam. Five things. Prior to that, in the verse before that, Krishna is saying, these five things, Panjaidani Mahabaho, Karanani Nibhodame, Sankhe Kridande Proktani, Siddhaye Sarvakarmanam. Any karma to become successful, these five factors are important. Five factors are important. Because these five things is, if you have imposed them on the Atma, on the self, and then he, one who is identifying with the body, for him, Adhishtanam is body. is it not? Adhishtanam is body. Remember, we discussed this before. When Adhishtanam is body, then all these apply. When Adhishtanam is Atma, for him it doesn't apply. Because if Adhishtanam is body, there is Kartrutvam. I am the doer will be there. Ego will be there. Isn't it? And senses will be there. Karanam, Indriyam, Cheshta. And therefore all the Cheshta. Cheshta means activities which comes from that. And all these things exist for him in his Swarupam. Swarupam is body. Because Ajnani, ignorant person, his Swarupam is body. So therefore, these five things will be there in that person. See? But once you have realized your Adhishtanam as Swarupam as Atma, for that person, for he doesn't have a body, he doesn't have a mind, he doesn't have an ego, and Ahangaram, none of them, and therefore no Cheshta, no actions either. And that person, we have seen before, he is the one who sees in akarmam in akarmam. Remember that? Karmanya karmaya pashyed akarmanija karmaya sabuddhiman manusheshu sayuta krishna karmakrut, which we have seen before. It won't bind him anymore. And shariram, body, word, mind. If you look at the verses 14, adhishtanam tadha kartha karanam cha pratakvidham vivishascha pratakcheshta devam chaivatra panchamam. And in the next verse, shariram vang manobhiryat karma prarabhadhe nara nyayam va vibaridam va pancheda tasya hedava. That also we have discussed before. That because it is with these things we engage in karma, isn't it? With the body, with the mind and the words. So, if all these three things, body, the mind and the words, what we speak, how to make it purify them through austerities. That Krishna has spoken in the last chapter. Do you remember? In the 17th chapter. In the 17th chapter. If you look into that chapter, you will see there. In the 17th chapter, how Krishna mentions that. If you look into the verses 14, 15 and 16. He says here, Devadvija Guru Pratya Pujanam Shaujam Arjavam Brahmacharyam Ahimsacha Shariram Tapa Uchade Anudvegakaram Vakyam Satyam Priyahidam Chayad Swadhyayam Abhyasanam Chaiva Vangmayam Tapa Uchade. So, and in the next one, Manaprasadam Saumyatvam Maunam Atma Vinigraha Bhava Samshudgarityedad Tapo Manasam Uchade. These three things. So, here in this verse, chapter, Krishna is saying, in the 16th, 15th verse, Shariram vang manobhiryat karma prarabhadhe nara nyayam va vibaridam va panchade tasya hetava. Right or wrong action can performs by body, mind or speech is caused by these five factors. He has said that. Now, these three things, which one? Shariram vang manobhi, body, mind and speech. These three, how to make it pure, Krishna has spoken in the last chapter, in that verses 14, 15 and 16. Separately has spoken. The austerity is for the body, austerity is for the mind, austerity is for the speech. Isn't it? So actually, all the karma is executed through these three only. Mind, speech and the body. Isn't it? And Krishna is saying, Nyayam va vivaridam va. So some of them will be favorable when it is executed through that, and some of them will be unfavorable. Nyayam va vivaridam va. Isn't it? Nyayam means it will be, some of the karma what we do will be based on dharma, will be based on shastra, part of it. Isn't it? And some of them will be based on adharma. Remember that karmam is a very big subject. Karmam, it's such a complex subject it is. Krishna has taken six big chapters in the beginning of Bhagavad Gita to discuss karmam. And except in the Vedic philosophy, nowhere else karmam is discussed like this. You don't find it in any other religions or any other religious process in the world. Karmam given so much importance. Like the way Bhagavad Gita has given, or in the Vedic tradition it is. Because
the rishis knew that our entanglement is in this karma. Karma means that is entangling us. So, forget about going to the spiritual world, enjoying it. That all comes much later. We always get into this misunderstanding that suppose I discuss about spiritual world here, I will free myself from the problem here. No, you won't. You won't. The whole problem is this. Before we discuss higher topics, we have certain basic issues to sort out. And the most basic issue is this karma. From this we can't come out first. We are stuck here in this itself. What to talk about discussing other issues? The other issues are not so difficult because once karma shuddhi comes and our own purification happens, as Krishna says, karma shuddhi. See, again in the 18th chapter, Krishna brings it back again, the whole thing, what he discussed in 6 chapters before. Last so many verses, 10, 12 verses in this chapter, you have seen Krishna is talking, going back to the karma again. So, karma shuddhi is important. When karma, and that karma, to escape from that karma, the easiest solution Krishna is telling us is this, that in karma is the process through which material nature grinds us here. Karma is meant for that. Otherwise it makes no sense also. Why do I have to struggle so hard after coming here to maintain this body? It makes no sense, isn't it? First of all, we are not the body. We are spirit soul, Atma. Atma doesn't require any food even. Body needs the food. Atma doesn't require any of the things what we are craving for in this world. Apart from eating, sleeping, defending, mating, all this is for the body. And it is for this thing called karma is standing there. All the karma is only to satisfy these needs. So if it is like that, why am I caught up in this like this? This question will naturally come. Is it not? It's an intelligent question to ask. If I am Atma and I have no need, I am full on my own within my identity as a self, why I have to get entangled in all this complicated situation, finding it difficult to escape from this? Krishna is saying to us, the way it is created is, Prakriti has trapped you in this for one reason only, because of the ahankaram inside. And that ahankaram is centered around this karma. Kartrutva Bhoktrutva is the one which is keeping this ahankaram very strongly inside. So freedom from that, or freedom from the body, from the mind, it's not going to happen till Prakriti releases us from that. The easiest process, Karma Yogam, Krishna has spoken, that if it is come to that situation, that praying and all won't help. Praying, you can pray as long as you want, but nothing is going to work. Because the science is different. Krishna is saying to us, if you have a genuine way, people think that just by praying, everything will happen. If somebody dies, you say, go and pray. What praying? Praying is not going to help. There's a whole science behind it. It's not going to let you go from this. You can pray and satisfy yourself that, oh yes, gone to a good place. But is that the truth? Who knows? You don't have a guarantee for that, is it not? So intelligent people, they won't fall for this kind of things. They won't accept that. The intelligent thing is to understand that what is Krishna saying? How does it work, this whole system? Karma mandalam, it is called in the Bhagavadam. Karma mandalam it is. We are all trapped in this, all of us. Till you get free from this karma, cycle of karma, you have no escape route. The escape route is not possible because Prakriti is grinding us all the time. She will put you in one situation and you will develop some happiness around that. And when everything is going fine, she will pull you out from that and throw you into another situation, and another society, another community, another family, another setup altogether. And by the time you develop some happiness there, she will pull you out from that and throw you into another place. This way, life after life, birth and death, new society, new community, new family, new friends, this is going on and not feeling secure anywhere. All the time in anxiety from one life to another. Krishna is saying, if you want to come out of this, first thing is, your biggest handicap is this karma. And that freedom from karma is only possible, Krishna says, there's only one way. Yadya dishtadamam loge, യാതി പ്രിയമാത്മന തത്തൻ നിവേദയൻ മഹ്യം തഥാ അനന്ത്യായ കൽപ്പതേ. യു ഹാവ് ടു നോ ഹൗ ടു ഡൌൺലോഡ് ദിസ് കർമ്മം ഫ്രം ഇൻസൈഡ്. ഐ ഹാവ് പ്രാരബ്ധം ദയർ, ഐ ഹാവ് മൈ കർമ്മ വാസന ഇൻസൈഡ്, ആൻഡ് ദാറ്റ് ഡൌൺലോഡിംഗ് പ്രോസസ് ഈസ് വാട്ട് കൃഷ്ണ ഈസ് എക്സ്പ്ലെയിനിങ് ടു ഉദ്ധവ ദയർ. ഈവൻ ടു ഉദ്ധവ കൃഷ്ണ സെഡ് ദ സെയിം തിങ് ദാറ്റ് ഇഫ് യു കീപ് ഓൺ ഡൂയിങ് ഇറ്റ് യു വിൽ ബിക്കം ലൈറ്റർ ഇൻസൈഡ്. When you become lighter inside, you will see Antaryami inside in a very natural way. She is revealing, Antaryami is revealing to us who we are. That revelation happens inside. No knowledge is going to come from outside. It has to come from inside, not from outside. So, after saying all these things, Krishna has talked about here, about this freedom from the karma. So, and it is in relationship with that, Krishna says, a person who has come out of that karma, that his experience is that karmanya karmaya pasheda karma nija karmaya sabuddhiman manushyeshu saita krishna karmakat, all that. He is not bound by karma. Everybody else is bound by karma. We are all bound by karma, isn't it? Like you can see, we are doing karma now also. And this is also going to bind us. On one side you are trying to escape from karma, other side karma is binding us. So therefore he says here that when all the nyayam va viparidam va, sometimes they will be favorable, sometimes unfavorable. So here nyayam means dharmam shastriyam, based on shastram, based on dharmam. Viparidam means adharmam ashastriyam. That means Vikarmam, you know what Vikarmam means. Vibharidam means Vikarmam. Vikarmam means it's not based on any shastra. And it is disturbance to others. And it's also brings distress later to us. While doing it, you won't know it. You will enjoy it. But later on when the result comes, you'll cry. When people suffer, We will always feel, oh, why they are sad. We think that we hire a C-130 aircraft and fill with all sorts of relief operation starts. But that's not so simple, isn't it? The thing is that when misery comes, you have to understand that there is a reason behind it. There's nothing we can do about it. So Rishis never gave a solution like the way the modern world is running for relief work. It's not the solution to the problem. It's not the solution to the problem. So So Echabi Nimashida Cheshtidani. He says here also in this that Yadcha Abhi Nimishtida Cheshtidani Jivana Hedu Tad Abhi Purva Krita Dharmam Adharmayoho Eva Karyam Iti Nyaya Vibhida Yoho Eva Grahanena Grahidam Pancha Ede Yathokta Tasya Sarvastya Eva Karmana Hedava Karanani. That means with the body, mind and the speech, all the karma what we perform, the five factors Krishna has mentioned before, and whether it is based on dharmam or adharmam, shastram or ashastram, doesn't matter. The cause behind that is these five factors, what he has spoken before, said like that. You can also see one thing here, that whatever we are doing in this world, our karma, what we do here, what's called a cheshta. See that word, cheshta? Krishna uses the word cheshta. It's a very interesting word, that cheshta. Cheshta means, that is in the 14th verse, isn't it? Yes. Yeah. Pratak cheshta. Cheshta means, you know what cheshta means? It's a very technical word. Cheshta means that we doing things due to vasana inside. That's why it's called a cheshta. Vasana is pushing us to do a particular thing. Therefore, it's called cheshta. And because many times, you cannot say how a person will act. Isn't it? If you observe people, you will notice this. How a person will act in this world, it's very difficult to predict. he will act according to his vasana inside. Often. Sometimes we say, oh, he's very unpredictable. We say about people, isn't it? Why? Because his vasanas are, we don't know his vasana. What way it will make a person to act in this world. That is what he's saying here. And you can see this. If you observe other people, you will see this happening. How very different way different people act. Very differently people act. Sometimes you think some people are so good. How good they are. You get so pleased with their behavior. But then next time, suddenly you see, when you see their behavior, you start thinking, how could they behave like that? How badly they could behave like that? Because at that particular time, what has happened is, there was something in his bag inside. It jumped out. That's what has happened. That is what has happened. Because in his bag, there's a lot of things inside that bag. And when what will jump out from that bag, it's very difficult to say. So, and that is what is called prakriti. That's what is called prakriti. And this is the reason why we say people are unpredictable. Because everybody's bag is different. And in that bag, what is filled inside with the vasana, we don't know. So that vasana will jump out and make that person react in a particular way. And that's what's called a cheshta. That's why Krishna uses the word cheshta. Cheshta means something that is compelled by the force from within, from his subtle body. So, therefore, it is very difficult to look at somebody's prakriti and make a decision about somebody or any kind of opinion about somebody. That's exactly what Krishna said this to Uddhava also in the Bhagavadam. There is a reason why he said, don't praise anyone. And don't parasvabhava karmani na prashamsadi na nindadi. Isn't it? Remember? 11:28:1-2. Parasvabhava karmani na prashamsadi na nindadi. Vishwam ekalpagam pashyen prakritya purushena cha. Parasvabhava karmani ya prashamsadi ya nindadi. Sa ashubhrashyade swarthal asatyam abhiniveshada. If you remember those two verses, then you will know why we should not judge a person's nature. Because that's what is in his bag, what can you do? Parasvabhava karmani, ya prashamsadi, ya nindadi, vishwamegalpagam pashyan, prakritya purushena ja. Vishwamegalpagam, that is the most important thing. There's only one thing here, alma, and that is one. Prakritya purushena ja, and that is present in this world in the form of prakriti and purusha, isn't it? So, therefore, to glorify somebody's swabhavam or his karma, because karmam is linked to the swabhavam, they're connected to each other. So, swabhavam and karmam, one should not praise or one should not condemn that. Because if you go exceedingly praising somebody's activities or somebody's, criticize somebody's activities, instead, Krishna is saying, Vishwam egalpagam pashyan. See the whole creation as one substance, alma. And in that way, see the world. You should not even see it as prakriti and purusha, only as alma. Only as purusha. Purusha is alma. Only in that way you should see that. Just like they say, with the gold, they have made a lot of forms. They made form of Ravana with the gold and form of Ramchandra also with the gold. Isn't it? When you look at Ravana with the gold, it looks awful. But when you look at Ramchandra in the gold, he looks very beautiful. But both are gold. Isn't it? So, one who is looking at Rama and Ravana, he will take only Rama. He will throw away Ravana. But one who is looking at the gold, he will take both Rama and Ravana, isn't it? Suppose a thief comes in. He is not bothered whether you are Rama or Ravana. He is interested in the gold, isn't it? So, and because of that higher intelligence, the thief has a higher intelligence there, that he is able to see the substance is the same. Both Rama and Ravana is made of gold and both are valuable. Therefore, he escaped from the problem. Nivrti has come to him.
Similarly, today we see Prakriti and Purusha. But when you see that both Prakriti and Purusha is nothing but Atma's form, Atma transformed as Prakriti, is it not? Atma's another form is Prakriti, but it is not different from Atma. It's not different from Atma. When you start seeing that, that Atma alone is present here in this creation, and Krishna alone has dressed up in all these different forms in this world, then he escaped from the duality. He escaped from that duality in this world, and that's the only way to escape from here. That is the only way to escape from here. There is no other way. There is no other way. So long as you are caught up in the duality, you will suffer. Dvaitam will create problem. There is no way you can free yourself from the dvaitam. So that is why he says here that otherwise what will happen is you will start thinking that somebody, oh, he's a good person, and you will get used to that person. But when he will bite you, you don't know. When he will bite you, you won't know. Or we may bite him. It can happen that way also, isn't it? Because we ourselves are also not that good people. So you can't say that I am good, he is bad, or I am bad, he is good. All these are dvaitam. It's all based on dvaitam. Dvaitam is that. And as long as this dvaita bhavana, this is dvaita bhavana. Dvaita bhavana means to see things, everything like this is good, this is bad. And to get rid of that is very, very difficult. And Krishna is saying the only way to come out of it, that is why in the Ekadasi Skandam, when Krishna says this, he says in the very last, very end, he says to Uddhava, Parasubhava karmani, na prashamse nindani. So ashubhrashyade swarthal asatyam abhiniveshada. You are not on the platform of the truth. You are already in the platform of asatyam, he says there. So normally in relationships also you can see this. You will see sometimes why that person has behaved like this or why I have behaved like that. So you may think sometimes, oh, I should not have spoken like this. So many things comes to your mind, various thoughts, isn't it? So that is the reason. Body, mind and the speech, all of these things belongs to Prakriti. Belongs to Prakriti. It is not ours. It's not ours. That is why it is said that hand them over to Krishna. Hand them over to Krishna. And if you make it your own, body, mind and the speech, then you will get caught up in the material life. In the material life. So, in order to free from the material life, Krishna is saying here, hand over what belongs to Krishna, you hand it over to Krishna. And what belongs to Prakriti, you hand it over to Prakriti. That is the answer. Then, if you hand over what belongs to Krishna, then you will become free. Body, mind, intelligence, all these things. Body, the mind, the intelligence, all these things. That, because it is Prakriti, it belongs to Prakriti. And Prakriti is Krishna's Prakriti, isn't it? Krishna's Prakriti. And therefore, if you hand them over to Krishna, then you will become free. Instead, if you start taking body is mine, mind is mine, intelligence is mine, if you take that approach, you will never become free. You will never become free. For example, chanting the holy name. What is chanting the holy name? Chanting the holy name is nothing but, Prabhupada has given a engagement in your service, he says like that, isn't it? What does that mean? Actually, what is Krishna is saying, probably saying is there, that hand over everything to him. In otherwise, that's what the same thing spoken in a different way. That hand over your mind, hand over your body, means engage me in your service, engage me in your service. That's all it is. So, then, the chanting, the process from begins with the chanting. Everything begins with the chanting the holy name. So, in this way, karma yoga on one side, but on the other side also the spiritual sadhana necessary to constantly handing over to Krishna the body, the mind, the speech, everything to him. So that is why sometimes I mentioned to you in the beginning itself that many, many great Mahatmas, when you go and visit them, It's my own experience also. I'll tell you, when you went to see, visit them, first thing they will inquire, you've gone there with all sides of doubts in your mind. And they're asking, have you had prasadam first? This is the first question. So couldn't understand why they are so insisting on this prasadam. You're not hungry even. And they are still asking, oh, you should have your prasadam first. And they'll make arrangements for you to have prasadam first. So later on you understood this, the reason behind it. Because at least if you keep on asking questions, you're only causing problems. For them as well as for yourself. And not that you won't ask any question, they make you this prasadam for you. They tell you, take prasadam. And they'll make sure when you come back after the prasadam, how was the prasadam? Did you like it? Was there anything you wanted further? Can I bring something else? This way they'll keep you occupied in that way. This is their way of dealing with people like us when we go with the questions to them. Because if you keep saying questions and questions, it's only vigalpam. It doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean anything. So, therefore, otherwise what they'll do is, they'll chant the holy name. And they'll tell you to join, to chant the holy name. Otherwise, they will take the Srimad Bhagavatam and start reading from Bhagavatam and start explaining from Bhagavatam in this way. Not to create vigalpam inside. That's the purpose behind it. So, somehow or the other, to create some austerity for the words, for the speech, for the speech, and austerity for the body. Anything what you do with the body, not to do it for your own happiness in life, to do with the body. If you are preparing prasadam, prepare for Krishna. That way you get yourself released from that. Whether the family member says the prasadam is nice or not, doesn't matter. As much as if you make that while preparing the prasadam, even if the family members didn't accept that as or appreciated your cooking, if you have cooked the prasadam with this understanding that Andaryami inside has cooked for his satisfaction, and if it is offered in that way, it is prasadam. It is prasadam. Then you may say, oh, I've heard this so many times in so many classes, cooking and offering and all that. But very easy to forget that, is it not? So if you keep this in memory and if you conduct your vyavaharam in that way, in order to do that, it requires Krishna's grace that you don't forget these instructions in life. Nothing else is required and nothing more to be known either. So, only thing Krishna is saying here, the body, the mind and this power of speech, all these three things, all of them, whether it is good or bad, nyayam va vibharidam va. Remember? Nyayam va vibharidam va. Parichayate tasya hetava. So, all of them is, the causes behind that is these five factors Krishna has spoken. So, one who considers that Atma is doing everything, or is remembering that, seeing that Atma is the karta, he is called Ajnani. He is called Ajnani. Atma doesn't do anything, isn't it? And that is the important point Krishna is stressing in the next verse, if you look. 16. Trying to bring us into this understanding finally, that Atma is not the karta, Atma is not the bhokta. It's all based on the ajnanam inside this concept in us, that I am the doer, I am the enjoyer. Tatraivam sati kartaram Atmanam kevalam tuya Pashyat tagrita buddhitval Nasa pashyati durmati Tatraivam sati kartaram Atmanam kevalam tuya Pashyat agrita buddhitval Nasapashyati durmati. That's it. Tatraivam sadi kartaram atmanam kevalam tuya. Pashyati agrata buddhitval. Nasapashyati durmati. Nasapashyati durmati. Therefore, one who thinks himself the only doer, not considering the five factors, is certainly not very intelligent and cannot see things as they are. We'll cut it after a few minutes.
Chedo darpanam arjanam bhavamaha dhavagni nirvapanam shreyakairava chandriya vidaranam vidyavadhu jivanam anandam budivardhanam pradipada purnamrita swadanam sarvatma swabanam varam vijayade shri krishna sangirtanam nanamagari bahuda nija sarva shakti tatrarpida nemida smaranena kalam edadrisham bhagavan mamavi dudaivam idrishamiha janina anuragaham tranarabhi shunichainam tarorabhi sahishtuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari madhanam na janam na sundarim kavilamba jagadishakamaye mama janmani janmani ishwari bhavadad bhakti rahai tugitvai Nandavanam jakingaram padidamam shami bhavambudu kabayatava pada pangajastita duli sadrasham michindaya nayanam galada shudharaya padanam gadgalarudhaya giram pulagayam jidam gadavabu tavannam grahane bhavishari yugayidam nimeshena chakshusha pravishayidam shunyayidam jagalasavvam indavinahe name पादरदाम विनष्टुमाम अदर्शनाम अग्रहदाम करोतु वा यदादला वा विददादलं बडो मत्प्राणनाथास्तु नेवनापरा
So here in this chapter, 18th chapter, more or less whatever Krishna has spoken up to this 16th verse, which we are now looking at, these 15 verses, is all about karma. You may have noticed that, is it not? And it is the karma, the first six chapters in the Bhagavad Gita also, starting with the first six is karma, second is six is bhakti, and the last six is jnana. So, even when we are talking about Jnanakandam, which is this last six chapters, and in summary of everything in this 18th chapter, Krishna comes, brings back that karma very forcefully again. And so far, Krishna has spoken few things about the karma, how karma is affecting us in our material existence. And when we talk about Tyagam and Sannyasam, Krishna also saying to us, Tyagam and Sannyasam is nothing but when you get released from the grip of Prakriti by constantly Tyagam. Tyagam means renouncing, leaving behind, renouncing everything and freeing yourself from this network what we have created around us. Because there's a lot of knots in us. And it's difficult to untie these knots unless this karma is the knot through which it is tied. Karma means vasana behind it. Vasana in the form of karma is tied us down here. That is the reason why we are finding it difficult to move away from that. So in a subtle way it is tying us down. So that freedom from that karma, Krishna has spoken in a very subtle way through the Karma Yoga process. How to be. In the early chapters also it's the same thing, what Krishna is saying here in a different way. The same thing, Karma Yoga chapter if you study, you will see the same thing spoken there. Kartrutvam, same problem. Kartrutvam, Bhoktrutvam, Priyantana Karma. So, after saying all that things, Krishna spoke here, mentioned here, that the, in a little different way, how karma happens. But he also mentioned at the same time, even though karma is there, if you are following the process of karma yoga, karma won't cause any problem. But it is a slow process by which you can free yourself from these knots of karma. From the knots of karma. That is why he mentioned there, adhishtanam tadha karta. If you remember, karanam cha pradak vidham. Vivedascha pradak cheshta devam chayvatra panchavam. Those five things which affects the karma, and the karma which we do through body, mind and speech. Shariram, manasa, vangma, everything. And in the 17th chapter, he spoke about purifying these three things, Shariram, Vaka, Manasa, through the process of austerities, tapas, through austerities. That is what is in the 7th chapter. But those austerities mentioned there, that will purify your mind, body and the speech now. But the vasana that is already there, that won't go. That requires karma yoga. There is no other way. That is why karma yoga plus all the austerities what Krishna spoke in the last chapter. After saying that, Krishna mentions here that so long as one is thinking that the Atma as the doer, as long as that is your perception inside, Atma as the doer, he is an ignorant person. Atma is not the doer, body is the doer. In other words, and that is what he mentioned is this next verse. Tatraivam sai kartaram atmanam kevalam tuya pashyati agartha buddhitvan nasa pashyati durmadi. He says, nasa pashyati durmadi. Durmadi means, the definition of that durmadi is that tatra iti prakrutvena tatra iti prakrutvena sampadyate evam sadi evam yathokte panchavi panthedubi Nirvartya sadhi karmani tatraivam sadhi durmaditasva hedutvena sambadhyade. That means, how a person becomes durmadi. Durmadi means durbuddhi. That means, his intelligence became crooked. Crooked intelligence. And the reason for that is, first mistake he makes is that Atma, the self within, he thinks that Atma is doing the karma. Instead of thinking that body is doing the karma. And that is ajnanam. That means he is thinking, I am doing. I am doing means Atma is doing. That's the way it is, isn't it? When you say I am doing it, what it means? Atma is doing, because actually I am Atma. So that ajnanam, and similarly, when the results are coming, he is thinking that, oh, the results are coming for me to enjoy. Both are based on this misconception in my realization. Just like Krishna is saying there, that the, remember earlier he said, Vyavasayalpiya buddhi egeha kurunandanam. Bahushaka anandascha buddhayo avyavasayinam. Somewhere inside, a decision has been made. And that decision is difficult to change. And those who have made the decision that Vyavasayalpiya buddhi, one who has got that, he does not think about anything else. Because he knows that if my buddhi goes in another direction, then avyavasayinam, I will not get that intelligence meant for realization of the self. So here, Krishna is saying here, my buddhi is called durbuddhi. Durbuddhi means durmadi. That's the word he uses there. Nasa pashyati durmadi. Durmadi means, my intelligence somewhere there is something wrong. Somewhere wrong. Because I'm thinking I'm the doer, I'm the enjoyer. That itself is the first mistake. And that is called durmadi. Durmadi. Vedantam or spiritual master's instructions, logic, all these things are not there in his understanding. That is why. Because he has not studied Vedantam or Bhagavad Gita's instructions properly, and he has not taken proper instructions from a proper spiritual master, nor does he have the proper power of reasoning and logic in him. All these things are absent in him. Therefore, he is stuck in that pit, in that situation. Ya abhi dehadi avyadiriktaatmavadi anyam atmanam eva kevalam kartaram pashyati. He says here, even those who knows that Atma is separate from the body, Atma is separate in the body, still they think that Atma is the doer, self is the doer. You know that. That we never think for a moment body is doing it, isn't it? We always think I am doing it. And I am, when I am saying I am, actually in reality I am the Atma. But even if I have understood that I am not this body, still when doing karma, I am not thinking body is doing it, I am thinking I am doing it. See that problem? I am doing it, isn't it? So, because it is like that, so, he is not able to understand neither the Atma nor the karma properly.
know the tattvam of Atma or the tattvam of karmam, he is not matured enough inside and he is not able to separate them out properly, Atma and the karma. Atma and the karma. That is why we can see this problem. We understand here all these things and we know that the body is doing the karma. We know the subtle body is behind it. But as soon as you go out and start doing a karma, what do you think? I have done it. Isn't it? There, I am bringing Atma into it. Atma has nothing to do with the karma. So, this way that it is working now, at the moment, there is something wrong, isn't it? Theoretically, we understand from Bhagavad Gita, Atma does not do any karma. Atma doesn't require any karma. Atma doesn't require any results either. If it is like that, how come that as soon as the karma is executed, I take the ownership? Why does that happen? Or, as soon as the result comes, why do I want to get the results from that? Enjoyment result, enjoyment of that. So, this is what he is saying here. Dehadi, that is what is in this verse. Tatraivam sati kartaram almanam kevalam tuya pashyat agrada buddhitval nasa pashyadi durmadi. In other words, he is saying here that the tattvam of Atma, that means he has not understood what is Atma means. And he has also not understood what karma means. So therefore, he is not able to segregate them. He is not able to separate them out because his intelligence is not matured in that way. He is cycling, he is getting through so many life and death, so many times, cycles of birth and death. And therefore, he is not able to get this understanding of Atma. This is the biggest problem. By the time we get to hear about Atma and we put our attention into Atma and we want to understand Atma, the body is gone. We got into another body again. And the whole cycle has to begin there. Isn't it? See how the difficulty it is? In this life, for example, after a long period of search, finally somehow or the other we came into Bhagavad Gita. And in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna has spoken to us about it. But unfortunately, due to our conditioning from the past and all the wrong information what is gone inside, ajnanam or avidya, paravidya, abravidya, avidya, that avidya inside, this new knowledge of the Bhagavad Gita is not getting in. We are resisting it, isn't it? It's not, we are not, outside vyavaharam, we are failing that because of this. Whereas all other knowledge of purva vasana, previous vasanas from previous life, and even in this life, it's always coming out through us. So, because it is a situation like that, which indicates to us that we have not really understood what Atma means, we have not accepted that, nor have we understood what karma means. It is, both things are missing in our understanding. And not only that, we are going through different births after birth, one body to another body. Transmigration happens, isn't it? So, because of that, I don't have time here to get a full picture here and to understand. We all inquire, and in the process, while inquiry is going on, we leave the body and go. We leave the body and go. Just like in the sky, when the clouds goes away, when the clouds are moving, you start looking at that, you see that the moon is also moving along with that. Is it not? Similarly, when you are sitting inside a vehicle, you start looking at outside, you see all the things at the back, at the outside are also moving, leaving you behind, isn't it? Similarly, while busy with this body, while living in this body, and while engaging in karma also, we are having this false experience inside, thinking that I am doing it and I am getting the results. This is how ajnanam it is. Such a deep avidya it is inside. I am, just like these examples are only to show us the power of that avidya. That by the time you get to know the truth and able to get a glimpse of the truth or in your experience, before that you have to leave the body and go. Leave the body and go. So, therefore, Krishna is stressing that point in this verse. He is saying here, kartrutva buddhi. Kartrutva buddhi means, I am the doer. We are imposing that on the self, isn't it? That's why we are saying, I've done it. We say all the time, I've done it. I am the person who has done that, isn't it? So I don't put that on the body. I put it on me, on the self, isn't it? And why is this not happening to us? That I am not the doer. I am not the enjoyer. I am Atma. I am the soul. In me there is no karma. This experience, why is not happening to us? This is an important question, isn't it? In spite of studying all the 6 chapters of Bhagavad Gita, even at this very end, in this 18th chapter, the same question is coming back. Why is that, after hearing so much about karma, karma yoga, Krishna is telling us, I'm not the doer, I'm not the enjoyer. So many verses in the Bhagavad Gita as well as in the Bhagavatam. In spite of all that, as soon as a karma is conducted, I take the ownership. And when the results come, I want to enjoy the results. Is it not? Why does that not leave? Ajani Swamiji is asking the question here. He says here that the Vedantam, in Vedantam, that answer is spoken here. That only way it can come out is that properly listening, hearing Bhagavad Gita and taking the shelter of a person who has come to that stage. And, or the reason for that, he is not getting it, he has not done these 2 things. First of all, he has not, that properly, he has not absorbed this knowledge in, from the Shastra. He has not taken it properly inside. Nor has he taken the shelter of a person who has realized this. Number 2. Number 3, the ego inside is very, very strong. But because of that, whatever he does with this body, he thinks he is doing it. And he is taking shelter of that, in his ego, taking the shelter. So, therefore, nasa pashyati durmati. You see that word, last word, line? He says, nasa pashyati durmati, he says. Krishna is saying there. Tattvam sadika, tatraivam sadikartaram, atmanam kevalam tuya, pashyati agrata buddhitvan. Nasa pashyati durmadi. That's a pretty heavy word it is. Durmadi. Durmadi means a person who is an idiot, in other words. That's the right word. Durmadi, if you want. I think in here, foolish they have used the word. Prabhupada is translated as foolish. But it's a pretty heavy thing. Nasa pashyati durmadi. He will never understand, in other words. You can write him off. And that's what he's saying here. So, pashyan. Acharya mentions this, Pashyanna Bhigata Pashyadi Vesham, or Pashyanna Bhigata Pashyadi Modaha. He is a Modha, ass, or Maudhyam. That means in intelligence he cannot understand it. It's not getting in somehow or the other. So he has accepted that Atma is separate from the body. Yeah? He has accepted that Atma is separate from the body. And still he is saying, Atma is the doer, and I am the doer, and I am the enjoyer, and such a person is agrata buddhitval. See that word Krishna is using there? He says, pashyati agrata buddhitval. Agrata buddhitval. Agrata buddhi. Nasa pashyati atmanaha tattvam ityartha. So, that means he does not understand what Atma means, number 1. And he does not understand what karma means. Neither of them. He does not understand what Atma means. He does not understand what karma means. Because in Swarupam, in one's identity as Atma, there is no kartrutvam, there is no bhoktrutvam. There is no ownership, I am the doer, or I am the enjoyer in the kartrutvam. All these things, if it has to happen, you got to do a lot of mananam on these things. Otherwise it's not going to happen. That through mananam, you have to break away from these obstacles. By properly analyzing it inside, when Krishna is saying this to us, that I am not the doer, I am not the enjoyer. Krishna is saying that Prakriti is the doer, Prakriti is the enjoyer. To get that realization inside, it does take time. And one has to continuously practice this. Otherwise it's not going to happen. So Krishna is pointing out here, Swarupam, if you are projecting kartrutvam and bhoktrutvam, that means doership and enjoyership,
on the Swarupam, on your identity as the self, Atma, it cannot stay there. It cannot stay there. So, therefore, they are saying different processes. Once we get up in the morning, sit for some time and analyze this point. What Krishna is saying this. I am not the doer, I am not the enjoyer. Then why do I feel that I am the doer, I am the enjoyer? What does that mean? It means I have got avidya inside, ajnanam inside. Ajnanam is telling me that I am the doer, I am the enjoyer. So, lot of chittavrittis will come in relationship with the karma in this world, is it not? Karma brings chittavritti all the time. And that may be good or bad. Whether it's good or bad, it doesn't matter. So, suppose some thought words comes in somebody else's mind. It does not affect me, isn't it? Similarly, when these thought waves comes to us in relationship with the karma, the first thing to do is not to impose them on me. It's called aravanam. Aravanam means that when the thought waves in relationship with the karma comes to us, first thing what do? We project it on me, isn't it? Oh, I have to do this, I have to do that. The after effect of all this, I will have to suffer. If good results come, I will enjoy. This is the problem. Any karma, any thought wave related to the karma, any thought wave, chittam or chittavritti, in relationship with the karma, when it comes, if we learn this art of thinking that karma is not done by me, karma is done by the body, the mind and the speech. That's what does the karma. And if I learn to separate myself from the activities of the body, the mind and the speech, then I get released from the effect of karma. Instead, from the very beginning itself, if I keep on imposing everything on me, as the doer, as the enjoyer, and all the thought waves, if I analyze in relationship with me as the self, then then you will see that it will never leave you. It will never leave you. It will always remain like that. That on the one side, you will be studying Bhagavad Gita and thinking that karma is not done by me, but in practice, you are always absorbed in the thought waves related to the karma. That means you are connecting up yourself, the Atma, with all the karma and its after effect. So that is what Krishna is saying here. So if you spend a little time in the morning, that to analyze this karma principle of karma, which Krishna has spoken in detail in the earlier chapters, that karma has nothing to do with me. Karma is done through the body, mind and the senses, whatever that is doing, the karma is coming through me and going away through the body, mind. But me, I am completely free from the karma. Karma has nothing to do with me. So, so that is the first point Krishna is making here. After that, after a while, you will know that if you look at yourself, you can see, especially when you are working, you will see how much karma is taking away your time, energy, everything. Whole time your mind is absorbed in the karma, isn't it? Karma is controlling your life to a large extent. Most of the time we think we are not working, but actually we are working. In a subtle level, karma has taken control of the self. Therefore, it has become necessary for some time every day to free yourself from that grip of the karma. That body, mind and the speech, that's where the karma is. It's not in the self. You are separate from all of that, isn't it? But instead of mind is working like that, but mind you can't control otherwise, but at the same time, at least to practice this, not to mix up these two things, the self as well as the prakriti. Prakriti is this, body, mind and the karma. Karma is all within the prakriti. Body is within the prakriti. Mind is within the prakriti. So this mixing up between the two, Atma as well as this prakriti, one has to learn by practicing it only. So, and kartrutvam, if you do that, what will happen is it will slightly give you an inspiration
not to impose this kartrutvam on yourself. Because you have mixed up these two things, that's why kartrutvam never leaves. Kartrutvam means I am the doer. It will not leave you otherwise. So, and that is why he mentions there, samyak darshanam. Samyak darshanam is the use he has used here. Kartrutvam, samyak darshanam means that kartrutvam or bhoktrutvam, or I am the doer or I am the enjoyer, none of them I am imposing on the self. Self is totally independent. All the time. Atma is independent. Atma is not a part of this whole business. What is going on here? So, so what you realize at that point is, when kartrutvam is taken away from the self, the benefit of that is, you will notice that this false ego, what is called as jiva ahanda, at the moment I have an identification with that, I am that ego, but I am not recognizing that, isn't it? I am always doing in terms of false ego is dictating, and I am thinking I am that false ego and operating in it, because I have no knowledge of the soul in experience level. But when you start doing this particular sadhana of separating oneself from the body, from the mind and from the senses, which are part of karma and prakriti, if you yourself practice that, you will notice one day that this false ego inside has no relationship with the Atma inside. Because karma is stuck with this false ego. When the karma leaves, you will also notice false ego is also leaving along with that. So, so previously also, this false ego had nothing to do with the Atma. And even now, false ego has nothing to do with the self. And similarly, in future also, false ego has nothing to do with the Atma. All these clarifications has to happen inside us. Otherwise, we won't escape. Because Atma, this is why, of course, prior to this, we have to sort our karma out. This is all the knowledge and relationship with that. Because when they say, Upanishad says, Atma is Nitya Shuddha Buddha Mukta Swarupam, isn't it? It is easy to say that. Atma is eternal, Atma is pure, Atma is fully conscious, Atma is always liberated. This is Nitya Shuddha Buddha Mukta Swarupam. Now, it is easy to say that to somebody, but to experience that, you got to go through a long way, a long journey before that, to experience that. To technically to present it to somebody on a paper or on a lecture, it is easier. But to experience that, there is so much other work necessary. And that is why first thing Krishna spoke about Karma Yogam. And then if through Karma Yogam, if one gets some Karma Shuddhi, at that time what will happen is for him, that sadhana what is required, that's what Krishna is talking about now. He's saying here, tatraivam sa kartaram atmanam kevalam tuya pashyat agrada buddhitval nasa pashyati durmati. Then, because once you have come to this understanding, that means through pashyati agrada buddhitval nasa pashyati durmati. Krishna says there, sorry, nasa pashyati durmati. In other words, that he said he is not intelligent and cannot see things as they are. What does that mean? He is not seeing this reality that Atma is independent of karma. Atma is independent of all other bondage here. Bondage is for the ahankaram inside. Ahankaram and as well as for the body and the mind, they are all bound by karma. Karma is also bound by that. So Krishna is saying, tatraivam sati kartaram atmanam kevalam tuya. One who thinks himself the only doer, not considering the five factors, is certainly not very intelligent and cannot see things as they are. He is not seeing it properly. Nasa pashyati durmati, he says. He is not even seeing the things properly. That verse is a bit difficult. Unless you know the whole background behind that, what Krishna is trying to point out to us is that that in Atma is Nitya Muktam, is always liberated, and I am Atma. If it is like that, why am I suffering in this world because of karma? Who is suffering? All these questions come from that, is it not? For example, I am suffering in this world. I am acknowledging that. I have problems with this body, with this mind, with my activities, the results from that. Everything is affecting me. Krishna is saying to us, you are not the body, you are Atma. Atma is pure, Atma is eternal, Atma is fully conscious, Atma is always liberated. If it is like that, why is it happening? That is why. Tatra pashyati agrata buddhitval, nasa pashyati durmadi. Because my main problem is, I have superimposed my karmam on Atma. That's where everything went wrong. That means, I am the doer, is in the Atma. I am the enjoyer, is in the Atma. And Atma is me, not the body. I have understood that I am not this body. I accept that I am not this body. But I didn't get rid of that karmam is not in me. I only accepted this part. Which one? I am not this body. I accepted that. But I have not given up that I am not the doer. As much as you give up this identity as I am not this body, you also have to throw away this identity that I am the doer. You also have to give up this identity that I am the enjoyer. All of them must leave. Otherwise, how will you get to that pure state of Atma? It's not possible. So, Krishna says, so, one who has this knowledge, he doesn't have kalmasham. Kalmasham means that he is not limited by any of the difficulties of this. That, and he will never, once you come to that stage, this knowledge or this realization, he will never get entangled in karmam again. He will, because he will not get bound by anything else. And therefore, this verse, it's a little bit on the, it's gone a bit higher on Krishna's words. So he says here, Krishna's words is a little bit heavy. Pashyati agrata buddhitval nasa pashyati durmadi. Nasa pashyati durmadi. So, why Krishna uses these words here? If you look at the Bhagavad Gita, you will see one interesting thing here. These words, Krishna is saying that if you are still, you are accepting that you are not the body, first thing, that you have accepted. But when it comes to karmam, you are still identifying with yourself that you are doing the karmam and the results are meant for you. That's all kartrutva-bhoktrutva. That has not left you. That has not left you. So, Krishna is saying here that if that has not left you, in that case, you are still not ready for spiritual life. Why? Because Krishna's word is a little bit heavier there. You can see. Pashyati agrata buddhitval nasa pashyati durmati. You are still a durmati. You are a little foolish or idiot or mudha, whatever that Krishna calls it as. Why? Because why did Krishna say like this? Because you can see in the next verse, if you look, you will see the glory of self-realization. Power of knowledge. That's what he's going to speak in the next verse. So, before bringing that in, Krishna wants to make us aware where we stand. Where's our present situation. You are studying all these things, but you are not even crossed this one hurdle of karma. Without crossing that, it's no point in discussing the next verse. To point out that, so that we get understand the next verse properly. That's why in this verse, Krishna has used that word very strongly. And in the next verse, what Krishna is going to say is the glory of self-realization and the greatness of that. Because Ishwaratam. Ishwaratam means Krishna is the supreme controller, isn't it? Ishwara. And Krishna conducts everything. He creates, He maintains, He is the one who initially destroys everything. Is it not? So, karmam is a part of this. Which one? Creation, maintenance, dissolution. It's not a part of Atma. In spiritual identity, in Atma, in the self, awareness, consciousness, there is no karmam. Where is karmam then? Karmam is in the prakriti. And prakriti means what? Creation, maintenance, dissolution. All these, srishti, sthiti, samharam. Three things. So, here,
All these three things are happening under the guidance of control of Ishvara. Ishvara is the one who controls Prakriti, isn't it? Ishvara sarvabhudanam hrideshe arjuna tishtadi. Brahmayan sarvabhudani yantrarutani mayaya. So, Atma or Brahmam or awareness, when he takes the role of controlling the Prakriti, he is called Ishvara. Remember that? We discussed this before. What is Ishvara means? Ishvara is that role of Atma when he controls the creation process, maintenance process, dissolution process, and also the control of the Prakriti, Maya. Maya means three modes of material nature. All these comes under the jurisdiction of Ishvara. Ishvara's responsibility, all of this. Now, Ishvara is the personality, if you look at it that way, you can see that because he creates this, Atma's, that role is Ishvara. In other words, Atma, Brahmam, Prajna, Yakti, all one thing only, not two, many, many things. They are not different names. But based on the function, we call it by different names. Remember, Mujigunda calls it as Nyakti. And Pipalayana Maharshi calls it as Jnanam. In another way, he addresses there. In another way. So, different places they will address in different way. But Vastu is the one and the same thing. But when he is controlling Prakriti, he is Ishvara. When he is controlling Prakriti, he is Ishvara. So, if it is like this, because Ishvara is creating, Ishvara is maintaining, Ishvara is dissolving everything. So, by creation, whatever the benefits of that, or by maintaining that, whatever the good effects of that, or by destroying it, the bad effects of that, all these things must have its effect on Ishvara, not on us. Because he is the one who is creation, who is doing the maintenance, who is doing the dissolution. You have to remember, there is a big difference in the Vedic way of thinking and all other Semitic religions. This is where the difference comes. In the Vedam, good and bad is both Krishna. In all other religions, bad one is Satan. He is separately kept, isn't it? So, that's why when Vivekananda went to America, somebody asked the question, in your perception, he said, God is both good and bad. We can't understand that, he said. In fact, Prabhupada also said the same thing. He said, when he was a student in Calcutta, that was the time when war was going on. You know, the First World War, I think, at that time. So, the Japanese were bombing Calcutta. So, Prabhupada says, Krishna is bombing, he says. That's Krishna, he said. Now, devotees could not understand that. Why it is Krishna? Somebody is throwing bombs at you. So, from Vedic point of view, this good and the bad, both is Krishna. If bad is happening, that's also Krishna. There is no separately anything. Everything comes from Krishna. So, when they ask Vivekananda this question, Vivekananda says to them, that I have to pay my respects to your Satan, he said. This is how he answered that. He said, wherever I look, Satan is winning. That's what's happening now, isn't it? You don't see anywhere God winning. Everywhere Satan, isn't it? That's what. Yeah, Satan. Satan is winning. You look at Iraq, Satan is winning. You look at Ukraine, Satan is winning. Russia, everywhere, wherever you look, in Palestine, Israel, Pakistan, India, wherever you look, Satan is winning. So Vivekananda said to them, I'm not going to worship God anymore, I'm going to worship the Satan, he said. Because according to your philosophy, he said, Satan is independent from God. And because he is winning, he is more powerful than the God, isn't it? That was his answer to them. So, but in Vedam, they don't accept that. Concept itself is different. And Prabhupada also said the same thing. He said, when they are throwing bombs at us, I was thinking, that's also Krishna. It's not somebody else. I was not thinking it's Japanese is throwing bombs at me. He thought, Krishna is throwing bombs at me. And Krishna is protecting me, Krishna is throwing bombs at me. Both. Both are Krishnas. So, so you can see here that according to our calculations, the way we calculate things, when the universal form was shown to Arjuna, Arjuna got completely spaced out, seeing that, the universal form.
And we say to Krishna, I want to see you. Listen, there's a song, isn't it? George Harrison wrote, we want to see you. But when you see Krishna properly, you won't want to see him anymore. That's what Prabhupada said. If you see Krishna properly, you don't want to see him anymore. So, seeing Krishna is somewhat dangerous also sometimes in that way. He says here, you can see Krishna in the way like Gokulananda with the flute in the hand and smiling nicely at you. But, and devotees are also worshipping Krishna in that particular form of Krishna is okay. It's nice to see. But when some other form and Krishna starts showing that form, you don't want to see that Krishna anymore. Isn't it? That's why Tukaram sang in one of his abhangs, you will see, that I only want to see that form which is sweet and that name which is sweet to chant, he said. Arjuna, on the other hand, he got completely frightened after seeing that form of Krishna. That form of Krishna. So, so what did say? If you say, look at that verse in the Bhagavad Gita, what Krishna says, Arjuna says there, Akhyahimeko bhavan ugraruba namostude deva varaprasida. There is a verse there, that is in the 11th chapter. Quite a few verses. When he saw Krishna that way,
31.
Akhyahimeko bhavan ugrarupa namostude devavara prasida vijnyadu michyami bhavanda madhyam nahi prajanami tava pravurtim. O Lord of Lords, so fierce of form, please tell me who you are. I offer my obeisances unto you. Please be gracious to me. You are the Prima Lord. I want to know about you, for I do not know what your mission is. This is, to understand Krishna is difficult. Nobody understands Krishna, isn't it? So, and then you will see there, another verse also, after that. Yeah, so many verses you can see there. I think it is the 25th verse also. When Arjuna was frightened, he is saying here, 25th is, yeah. this is the fear in Arjuna's, Arjuna when he is seeing, all his fear is coming out. He says, Damshtakaralani jam, te mughani drishtaiva kala anahasannibhani, dishona jani nelabheja sharma, prasida devesha jagannivasa, amijatvam dhradarashtrasya putra sarvesa haivavani bala sanghai, bhishmo drona suda putra stathaso, Sahasmadiyera biyodamukhe, Bhaktrani veturamana vishandi, Damstrakaralani bhayanagani, Kejidulegna dashanandareshu, Samdrishande churnidei uttamangai, Yatha praditam jalanam padang, Yathanadinam bahuombu vega, Samudrameva bhimukha drevandi, Tatha tavami naraloga vira, Vishandi vaktrami abhivijalandi, Yatha pradeeptam jalanam padanga vishandi nashaya samardhavegaha tadhaiva nashaya vishandi loga tava vivaktrani samardhavegaha lelikhya segra samana samanda logan samagran vadane jalalbi tejo birabhuja jagal samagram vasastavogra pradabandi vishnu. O Vishnu, I see you devouring all people from all sides with your flaming mouths, covering all the universe with your effulgence. You are manifest with terrible scorching rays. So, Krishna has a form like that also. It's not only the form what we worship in the temple. We like that, isn't it? The temple form, what nicely dressed up and... and so, Arjuna got frightened when he saw this form. Because... What did he see there? If you read those verses, you will see that form was swallowing everything. Bhishma was going inside. Drona was going inside. All the Kauravas were present in the battlefield. They were all getting swallowed up. When he saw that, Arjuna got really fearful about it, isn't it? So, we say those who are eating bodies, human form, it's called cannibals, isn't it? Cannibals. So, what do you say now when Krishna is eating them? Rakshasas we call them, or Asuras or something like that, isn't it? So here, he is seeing Bhishma going inside, and one head of that universal form is chewing Bhishma, and he is being swallowed inside. Drona through another mouth, and Duryodhana through another mouth. All the Kauravas through another mouth is going in into that form, and Krishna is chewing them nicely and eating them, eating all those forms. So, and Krishna, Arjuna realized that he is going to go inside that now, and he is going to be tasted as well in the same way. You see, so if he is doing all these things, will Krishna won't be will get the sinful reaction to all these things? That question will come, isn't it? But that is why he is called Ishvara. When he is Ishvara, it is that situation that the pious results, sinful activities, these things, right and wrong, these things don't exist in Ishvara. That's the difference between Ishvara and us. For us, all these things matters. But when Krishna is doing that, there is no sinful reactions to any of these things. So similarly, the moment Jiva also, when he loses his jivatvam, or this identification as Jiva, which is based on false ego, when he loses that, and he acquires the same qualities like Krishna has in that, then whatever karmam that comes through that body, that will not cause any after effect. That is when you escape from the karma. Up to that point, karmam is there. Now we have karmam. Why? Because the results are there, good results, bad results, it binds us, isn't it? And Krishna is also doing all these things, but it's not affecting him. When Krishna kills somebody, there is no sinful activity. But when we kill somebody, we will be questioned, isn't it? We'll be put into justice, we'll be put through to justice. If that's the case, Krishna is to be tried for the war criminal. They want to try so many people for war criminal, isn't it? War criminals, they say. Remember that they tried Saddam Hussein, Milosevic, and so many people they tried as war criminals. And here also they say they want to try out the previous Prime Minister and all that because of the Iraq war, they should be trying. So like these people are saying, but if it is like that, Krishna is doing the greatest crime in killing people. Should he not be tried? No. Why? Because he is Ishvara. That's the difference. Why he is not tried? The reason is this, that karmam, if we do something, it will come back to us. Ishvara does not have that. He is not functioning under the laws of karma. We are under the laws of karma. We are under the laws of karma. So, so this important principle has to be borne in mind all the time. If it is a self-realized person, all the karma that comes through him is like Krishna it is. It won't affect him anymore. Whatever he does, it will be for the benefit of the world. And because he doesn't have a mind behind it. As much as there is a mind behind the karma, it will cause vasana and it will cause bondage and it will have its effect. So that is where this punishment and the recognition comes. But if you come out of it, if there is no mind while executing the karma, if there is no mind behind it, it is that karma that is going through the body, it will have no effect after the karma is executed. It won't leave behind any residual vasana inside. That means that karma is complete and it is not creating any after effect from that. And it will be, any karma that comes through that person will always be for the benefit of the world. All these principles we have to understand in this chapter. Because one thing is there, sometimes people say, suppose I have got a mind and I have done some nonsense. And then I say to others, look, I am realized, so I can do it, but you can't do it. People will abuse things like that, would they not? They'll say, I can do anything because I'm realized, but I've gone and done some nonsense. So, because I've got the mind inside, if I say it will not affect me, you should be able to say this, that it won't affect me when the results come. Suppose I've done something and I'm punished for that. When the results are coming, I should be able to say that it does not affect me. If you are able to say that, then you can do that karma. It won't happen. But that doesn't happen. When the results are coming, when I am taken to the court, or when the police is chasing me and lock me up in the prison, and then I am trying to escape from that prison, I don't have that same state, is it not? Once it so happened, Yananda Saraswati was leaving his body. So, it was very interesting discussion that happened at that time. One of his disciples, he was 85 or 87 years old while he was leaving his body, and it so happened at the time they brought him to one of the disciples' house to look after him, because he was leaving the body, and in India that facilities is not there in the hospital and in the ashram there was no facility. So some disciple said he'll take the responsibility to looking after him. They knew that he was going to leave the body soon. But the last days were very tough. Very tough means that he was fed through the nose. So there were tubes connected to the nose. He couldn't eat through the mouth. For passing urine, they had to connect a tube. What do they call it? Catheter, isn't it? Yeah. And a bag to connect to the... So he was lying like this in this disciple's house. The disciple had some facility to arrange some doctor. And the doctor has insisted that he should, all these things should be connected up like this. And he was connected and he was lying there. And he knew that sooner or later he will leave the body. So many of his disciples came to see him at that time. So one of his closest disciples, who is also a sannyasi, came up to see him. And visitors were restricted because he was in that state, and the family with whom he was staying, they thought it may be a disturbance for him. When these visitors are constantly coming and he's already leaving his body and didn't want to give him a difficult time. So they put some restrictions on the visitors. But somehow the other very close people who are very close to him, when they came, they let them in. They let them in. So this sannyasi who came to see him, he went inside. And as soon as he saw Yananda Saraswati lying like this, on the bed, with connected up with the tubes everywhere, he was in a shock. He was in a state of shock. He couldn't believe that this person who has completely drunk Ekadasha Skandham to such an extent that he knew the whole in and out of Ekadasha, Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam particularly. Bhagavad Gita he has learned well. Plus, Ekadasha Skandham was his life and soul, in other words. And when he saw this person lying like this, he was in a shock. He has heard Ekadasha Skandham from him for years and years, explanations of Ekadasha. And after hearing from him, he had this impression that Jnananda Saraswati will not experience this in his life. He thought like that. But when the final moment came, this was the situation. Connected up with the tubes and lying on the bed. So he came and stood next to him. So looking at his face, Jnananda Saraswati sensed that uneasiness in his mind. So before he could talk, Jnananda Saraswati spoke to him. You know what he said to him? He says to him, "I know what's going through your mind," he said. So he didn't say anything. Out of respect, he kept quiet. He said, "You're thinking, why did this has happened to me? Aren't you? Are you not?" This was his question to him. So this sannyasi who had come, he says to Jnananda Saraswati, that "I am thinking that, what you said, why did this happen to you? Now, let me tell you," he said, "it is happening to this body, it has nothing to do with me." This was his answer. Lying in that state, to say that to somebody, in that state, requires that realization inside. Otherwise, you could never say that. And he was shocked when he said that. He realized that whatever he has spoken to me in Ekadasha Skandham is not false. Here is the practical proof of that. He is able to say this. When he is connected up like this, able to stay in that bed and say to him that "you are thinking about me like this, but let me tell you," he said, "that all that is happening to this body and the mind, I have nothing to do with it." And he was very openly saying this to him.
very openly saying this to him. And then there was a conversation between them about it, and he said so many things to him that the dehastobina dehasta, that state, that once you come out of the body, he is making fun of the doctors. He says they have connected it up because they don't want to have the trouble of cleaning up, he said. So they have put all these bags around me, but I have nothing to do with these bags, he said. So much free from that body, that is what the important thing to realize is. So similarly you can see here that once the mind is gone, for him there is no mind anymore. If the mind is working, then you won't be able to answer like that. If the mind is working. But if the mind has stopped working, then you can answer like this. The answer will come out like this in a natural way. So that is the testing point. That is the point when you are getting tested. All this studying, all these realizations. If ever it has to prove that it has worked for you, it is at that point when you will be able to know that it has worked. It has worked. Otherwise you can't say that. Otherwise you can't say that. So till you get that realization, all our effort is not complete. It's not complete. Theoretically studying is one thing, but realizing is the important thing. And it has happened to many, many Mahatmas like this. Ramana Maharshi's case, when cancer was there, he said, yes, cancer is there, pain is there. But for whom? He said. Able to declare this lying in the deathbed, that requires strength. You couldn't say this otherwise. Because they don't have to cheat you. What for? They don't need to cheat you. They're only telling you that this is their realizations. We have to hold on to that. That is why Mahatma's life is for this reason only. That they have shown to us this spiritual life, self-realization, if it has to happen, it has to happen here now. Whatever happens after death, who knows what will happen? Whether you get another body, who knows? But if this has happened here, if you are able to say this, practically Krishna is saying to us, there is no question of another body again. That's the end of it. We'll talk it all. Hari Bol. Om Guru Shri Srimad Prabhupada. Om Guru Shri Prabhupada. Jai Shri Prabhupada ki jai.